Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. All right. Nobody's here. I'll give them 4 minutes? 4 minutes. And then I'll just cancel the show. That's one thing I don't like. You want to do a show, let's do it. But be on time. If you can't be on time, let's cancel. Well, we'll play something. I don't know what we'll play, but we'll play something.
Hmm? What? 1 in 4? You might be a little confused.
This is my man.
Confused. Let's run the story. A Fulton County official officially confirmed that 1 in 4 ballots do not have the legally required chain of custody. The one place where we saw those beautiful, amazing cars come in at the most inappropriate time and bring in whatever they wanted to bring in. Don't worry, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Well, it's really important for us that they're saying this themselves. So no longer is it a theory that they don't have chain of custody. Now it's just an admission and it's out there now. Will the mainstream media report on this? I very much doubt it. But whenever the inspection happens, they're gonna call it crazy and fueling theories. So how did Fulton County manage to certify something like chain of custody is legally required, is it not? If someone didn't make an open records request, would we have ever known this? And it's very crucial that we do this audit in Fulton County. Remember, the court case is backed by 4 affidavits, witnesses claiming they saw 20,000, 30,000 fake somethings. The total number was just 147,000. That's the number we're going to inspect. But if you don't have chain of custody for 25%, couldn't I just come to the conclusion that they don't exist or they're fake or not real? I mean, at some point, the judge has to look at this and go, wait, you don't have chain of custody that's legally required for 25%? Of course I'm going to allow an inspection. Please, no more delays. What they're trying to do is delay it. And today, they delayed something else. Remember, we placed subpoenas on Ruby and her daughter to come in for a deposition. Well, obviously, the court has to hear the motions to dismiss, and we gotta wait even more to get Ruby and her daughter. All I care about, to be honest with you, let's get this audit done, and let's have it start a fire in Georgia, and let's just get to the bottom line of the truth, because we're all waiting for that. You have all these Georgia state senators going over to Arizona and touring the audit. That's great. I stand by their decision. They should do that. But they're going back home and doing nothing. I think a few senators should come together and sign an amicus brief, just like Brad Raffensperger did with trying to stop the inspection in the first place. They should do that instead asking the court to allow this inspection. The Constitution in Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 says the times, places, manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. If there is a court case out there that's dealing with how the legislature delegated power to the counties to conduct their elections, therefore the legislature has the legal authority to direct the courts to do whatever it wants to do.
All right. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, Donnie, what you say?
What you say? I was about to stop the show there for a minute. Nobody was here, and I said, well, I'll play this. I'll give everybody to the end of this tape, and I would say, adios, amigo. But I'm looking at this guy. He follows us. He's a great guy. He does his homework, and he says 1 out of 4 ballots. And Georgia, Atlanta, the Atlanta area, but you know, fraudulent. So.
That's just insane. That's a lot of ballots.
Yeah, even there's a I think it's Buckley. What the hell's the name of that? There's a little offshoot from Atlanta.
Buckhead.
Buckhead, yeah. They want the hell away from Atlanta. They want to start their own city. They're getting shot and everything else.
They got enough folks, you know, in that area. I think it's middle class, upper middle, maybe. I don't know.
I don't either.
But they've got enough in that area to do what you said, yeah.
Yeah, they say it's more diversified than Atlanta, and it's entire, like everything, shootings are up 600%. And they're big as San Francisco, and they only have 82 police officers.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah, 82. That's it. Let me get Joe. Joe finally make an appearance. How you doing, Joe? Late as usual. Yeah, that's what I was about to do.
There's that wildebeest.
Hello, people.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Daniel.
We got a lot of people on the switchboard. I know that.
Big Cat just rode in the garage, so she'll be on directly. Yeah, I was getting worried. Yeah, she's been at Meemaw's.
Yeah, I know. She's going to be late. Probably wore out.
Yeah, I know.
Well, so as long as you get there, it's fine.
Oh,
no
yeah.
problem.
Well, we've been talking about it since other night, so.
Yeah, I didn't remember it until somebody reminded me last night.
Mm-hmm.
About
what? Thank God.
The show.
Oh.
Thank God.
How did I get horseshoed in a damn show?
Yeah.
It's
in here, yeah. I just
forgot
told him
what
the
hell it was
about.
That ass cinnamon, what's this supposed to be about? Oh, yeah. Election. So you guys go for it. It's do it. You got 2 hours.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We're burning
first of all,
light.
Hey, y'all, first of all, short and sweet, I want to say happy birthday to an old friend up in Michigan. He voted this past time, Pete Carroll, 145 years old. I just want to say happy birthday, Pete.
Yeah, Pete, yeah, that's right, Pete Carroll did. And we do appreciate your vote, whoever you voted for. That's right, I forgot about that.
I mean, Pete. There were so many freaking people that, I was looking at the dead rose today, y'all, and I understand how they got mixed up, like Donnie and Donnie Jr., you know, that they
mm-hmm.
say that is a lot of the ways a lot of these people that are over 100
sure.
that are dead voted,
yeah.
you know, and all I kept reading. But, you know, they're supposed to clean that up. We're supposed
yeah.
to have a government that knows what they're doing here.
They do get the death certificate at City Hall, so they should be
yeah.
able to take that
and
have somebody automatically do that. That's your job. Boom. Yeah.
There you go, Donnie. I mean, is that not simple?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
you know, match it
guys,
with a social.
You're expecting the government to actually act like human beings who know what they're doing are supposed to do it for our benefit.
I think it's safe to say, though, if you're 145 years old, you should be taken off the rolls.
Right.
I think that's a plus.
They said this person had voted in every election since, like, 1970 or 60
something.
Yeah, I know. God bless this little pee-picking heart, whoever he or she is old.
Well, in all reality, the person's been dead for probably 50 years.
Yeah.
But yet they have voted for, whether it's Democrat or Republican, I don't know. Doesn't matter.
I don't know. No, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. If this person can vote when he's dead, God bless him.
Right.
Yeah. He can vote for whoever he wants to.
That's right.
Everybody.
I never thought of it like
for
that.
Are you
going
to try to discriminate against ghosts now?
The dead, right. That
what?
Sounds awful.
Oh, my God. Will you listen to this? This is anti-ghost.
Anti-dead people.
That's right.
I'm awful. I'm all sorry. I take
God.
It all back.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Well, what's this world coming to if you can't have the dead vote?
No, exactly, you guys. What's this show about tonight?
It's about the election fraud.
Are we certain there's election fraud?
Well, we have to make a little disclaimer here that any of the views that are stated on this show are not those of Blog Talk Radio. And any kind of views that we do say are strictly for educational, informative, and humorous purposes and our opinions. So has there been election fraud? Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
Oh, there she is.
Okay, Daniel, there you go.
There. There's one opinion right there, folks.
I say right. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So.
Okay, got one. Let me get Gene on. Gene is on. Okay. Okay.
Hello.
Right.
Hey, Gene.
Oh,
sorry I'm late. I just got out of showers.
That's all right.
Hi,
we
Gene.
We like you smelling
Hello.
Good.
Yeah, as long as you smell
well,
good, it's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working in all soups today. You know, we had a cucumber beetle infestation that I had to deal with.
We don't want
Lord.
To talk about that, Gene. Sorry. That's between you and Scott.
A cucumber beetle infestation?
Oh, I don't know what the hell a beetle is. I thought maybe you guys got kinky on your 29th anniversary.
They're eating our squash.
I mean,
50 traps and put out 41.
Mm.
And then Scott sprayed and I looked for eggs. Squished them.
We got some shit down here that'll kill them.
Well, welcome to Frank's Nursery. Critic on the line. Critic, you're with us. All right.
So, I apologize for being late.
That's okay, Jim.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, everybody else was late, so don't worry about it.
Right.
That's right.
I think.
Well, I heard your disclaimer. And
we
did
have,
you say these are people's opinions?
That's
I didn't
right.
hear that.
We have 40 people on the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, push one on your keypad. And go for it, guys.
And there's an open invitation tonight for anybody who wants to join in and express their viewpoint about if the election was not a fraud, that it was honest and on the up and up. I would like to hear it and like to make people know that whoever does call in, I get first crack at them.
There you go.
Okay.
There not a problem.
No ganging up like a bunch of hungry wolves.
No.
On a person coming in until I'm
We don't do that. We don't do that, Joe.
I know, I know. We just hang them by the feet, that's all.
But in my opinion, we've had voter fraud for decades.
Absolutely.
This ain't nothing new. It's just on a massive, massive scale this time. Later on in the show, I will read y'all some statistics from other countries, not ours.
Okay.
But other countries, and they will blow your mind.
You can do it now,
Dan,
if you want.
Oh, hold on.
You've been doing research today. No, I just pulled up a little. Oh,
hold on.
I mean,
well,
just
what's up, Donnie?
Hold on. Critic, I think you were trying to get in.
No, I was going to say, if you actually believe that the election was honest, then you believe that Madonna is still a virgin.
That's
a good
one. For the very first time. Amen.
Well.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
No.
Isn't she the one that said she wanted to burn she had thoughts of burning the White House down?
Yeah.
Yep.
And her neighbors wanted to get rid of her and have been wanting to get rid of her because she went in. She put up some kind of, I don't know what kind of drawing or whatever it was on the house, the side of the house, that started lowering the real estate value. Yeah, well, she's kind of a kook. So,
you know, part of that Hollywood satanic Luciferian garbage.
Yes, critic.
Got off into some Kabbalah stuff back in early night. Well, actually, even before that, but, you know, there's a... She was dealing with the crucifix and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, incidentally, if you listen to that Demon Wilson interview, but he talked about how Hollywood, that's basically what they were about with that stuff, with the Luciferian stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a caller that asked him at the end, and I don't know if Donnie heard this or not, but... talked about what happened with Cosby.
If I have time, I might play that if I can find it real quick.
Like to hear that myself. Critic, what happened? Somebody called in, and what happened?
They were asking about what you thought about what happened with Cosby. And something I didn't know, although I did figure he was being blackmailed about something, but he, Cosby was part of the black universities, were part of this Luciferian group called the Boule.
The Boule?
Which is apparently what he apparently was a part of, and they are into sacrifices now. I know that his son, Ennis, if you remember, he is random thing. But the mom said he had had two kids. Cosby had two kids that were sacrificed. I don't know who the other one was, but
wow.
Well, that goes along with whatever Alex Jones is saying about people, you know, who are, who join the Luciferian religion. Actually, the religion they worship Satan, and they have to do these sacrifices in order to, you know, attain what they really want. And the purpose of which is just to keep them embroiled so that, you know, they can go to jail if they ever reveal what's going on.
The Clintons must have had to do a sacrifice because the guy that busted her and busted Bill and Lynch talking on the tarmac, well, he committed suicide. A few days ago. I forgot his name. The reporter that caught Bill talking or going into Lynch's plane and discussing, and they said, Lynch said, all we talked about was golf and the kids.
And grandkids.
Yeah.
Bull butter.
Yeah, you mean that that shot where they were on the tarmac?
Yeah. In an election, remember? Back,
right. Oh, sure. They always stop to have important business to talk about their kids and golf.
Especially when there's an investigation into Hillary at the time, if you remember.
Yeah. The emails.
Go ahead. Does anybody on this call at all that's talking think that this election was an honest election?
Not at all.
Crickets.
Well, I guess that answers that question.
Yeah, I think there was some stuff going on. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it shows it. I'm going to get Melissa on. Hold on. Spinning. Melissa, welcome.
Welcome. And the answer to your question, sweetheart, hi, Jean, is absolutely not.
I agree.
It was rigged.
Good deal.
You know, Kathy and I had a conversation yesterday, and it was a good conversation. I enjoyed our talk, Kathy.
Well, thank you. I did too, Jean.
But, like, we were mentioning yesterday that Michigan, basically the five states that kind of did the wonky stuff, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia, those states were not certified by their elected officials, or their, you know, Congress, their state Congress and
legislature. Mm-hmm.
Right, thank you. They were certified by the Secretary of State, which they are not supposed to be.
They do not have the authority.
That in of itself, that alone causes for the ability of the legislature to recall and redo their electors.
To recertify the ones who have the authorization to certify.
Mm-hmm. Except that when either Giuliani or one set of Trump's legal team try to present that evidence in front of the state legislatures and the Supreme Court, they got told that they had no standing and it was rejected.
They never looked at the evidence.
That's right.
So they can't. They couldn't make that call.
Well, they said they had
until the legis-
They had no standing, therefore they weren't going to review the evidence.
All right, let me, Adrian, I'm putting you on. Adrian, welcome.
Good evening. How's everyone?
Good evening.
Hey,
hello, Adrian.
I'm hot.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay.
You're not going to fall asleep, are you?
Good evening.
I'm just listening to you all. That's
okay.
All.
Well, we got a lot of
people. I really don't have to talk over each other. I don't want to
argue
with people, and I don't really have an opinion on your opinion. So
okay.
I'm just listening.
No problem. And if you want to jump in at any old time, you just jump on.
You don't have to worry about me jumping in. Because I'm hearing the way the conversation is going. And so you don't have to worry about that. I'm just listening to different viewpoints. That's all. And I thank you all for allowing me to do that.
We would love to hear your viewpoint, though, Adrian.
No. Because I'm not going to argue with anybody.
There will be no arguing tonight.
No arguing.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm going back to listening.
Okay.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Adrian. All
right.
Okay. Go ahead, guys.
Okay. So, it'd be nice to have anybody who wants to call on in, please call it. Oh, yeah. I think the number is 1-347. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm doing this from memory here, Donnie. 347-324-3752.
That's it.
Okay. And for those who are downloading the show, this is it's called Beyond the Mainstream. My name is Joe. I'm the host for tonight, which is Monday in Gesundheit, June the 14th, 2021. But for those listening to the podcast, you can listen to the show regularly at that number on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we go for a long, long time.
It's called stamina.
It flies by. It flies by.
All right, Joe.
Yeah.
This is what I have a big problem with.
Okay.
From the get-go, even if there was no rigging, no fraudulent ballots, the laws were being broken from the beginning when the legislatures did not certify the electoral vote.
Or when the secretaries of state and the governors changed the voting capabilities and didn't go through the legislature either.
You know, you
with
did
the mail-in ballots and stuff.
Yeah, the legislatures didn't approve that. You
right.
know, I mean, just law after law after law was broken. You know,
during
Absolutely.
The voting process. Yes, the process itself, not the counting of the process.
And for the people listening, what Kat is talking about is the Constitution has said in our federal Constitution, not the state constitutions, that the state legislatures have the sole power of affixing the manner in which the Electoral College is not mentioned in the Constitution, but the manner in which people will vote and how the president will be elected. So what Kat is talking about is that the attorney generals of the particular states in question, and I think it's called the State Election Board. I may be wrong about that particular title. They took it upon themselves months before November, somewhere around June, July, I believe, to then institute new ways of voting in. In other words, they changed the date so that November 3rd, would not be the deadline date, or November 3rd or November 4th would not be the deadline date for the counting of the votes. They extended that to something like a week or two afterwards for example, mail-in ballots. What's the big deal about? Yeah.
It wasn't just that. It was the Secretaries of State and not the Attorney. I don't think it was the Attorney Generals, but it was the Secretaries of State and the Governors that did this. Like, for instance, in Michigan, our Secretary of State took it upon herself to mail everybody in the state of Michigan an absentee ballot request form. And according to our laws here in Michigan, you are to go into your county clerk or wherever you register to vote to request your absentee ballot, and you're supposed to show your voter ID, your ID at that time to request that absentee ballot. She took it upon herself to send out that application, and that, and within that application, there was no verification of who you were. So I could have sent in for my daughter, you know, hers, if I wanted to. I even got one for my dead mother.
Did you get one for your cat or your dog? Because a lot of people got them for them.
I didn't get one for my cat or dog, but I did get one for my mom's dog.
See?
I did hear on average, I'm sorry, Joe. On average, what she's talking about, these ballots being sent out and not requested, Democrats on average received 10. Each Democrat received 10. And each Republican received, a ballot.
This is not a ballot that I'm talking about.
Okay, these were the ballots that were sent out just at random, and each Republican voter received an average of 3rd, the ones that did not request them.
No, this was just the application to get an absentee ballot. And we did not get just one in the mail. We got 3. Each person.
Right.
So that it wasn't the ballot itself, it was
the request for the ballot. Yeah.
Correct. And we each got 3. I shredded them.
Right.
Well, Wisconsin, weren't you supposed to request a mail-in ballot? And they were just getting them.
You're supposed to do that in every state. You have to request it.
Yeah.
You don't just get it sent to you. That is not your right. That is not your privilege. You request it, and then they send it to you.
Wow.
Right. Even my son that's in the military has had to register with our township to get his absentee ballot for the, you know, for his military ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And each year, she usually contacts him, and he has to send or, you know, verify who he is every year for election years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's above and beyond what's supposed to be in the state of Michigan, but I do know that's what she does with him.
Well, I think there are different provisions for those in the military when it comes to absentee ballots or mail-in ballots as opposed to the civilians. But in any case, what had happened was that the people besides the state legislature did take it upon themselves to change the laws and to change the protocols. As a result, millions, if not hundreds of thousands, probably millions of these mail-in ballots, which were touted by the Democrats through the mainstream media as giving people the accessibility to vote where they did not have accessibility before, and as far as I'm concerned, that's all bullshit. Because everybody had the access to vote. If you can go to church, even pre or post pandemic, or during the pandemic, if you can go to any place you wanted to go,
Walmart,
if you had ID, then you could go. You could definitely show up at the polls.
Well, not only that, Joe, they remember, I don't know about your guys' state, but I know here in Michigan, your absentee ballot must be received by the closing of the polls on the day of the election. So they are here, our polls close at 8 o'clock. So their absentee ballot had to have been received by November 3rd, 8 p.m., to be able to be counted. Anything after that, they were discarded. Well, last year, they were accepting ballots by mail up to a week after the election day. So they could have mailed it election day, and if it got there a week or 2 weeks later, they were still going to count it. That was why they extended the counting
Illegally extended, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Yes,
there was a reason. I really don't want to talk, okay? Don't forget that there was problems with the mail system.
Okay.
Okay, don't forget to throw that in there.
Yes.
That is why it was extended.
But it still should not have been, because, you know, they knew we had problems with the mail. If they knew we had problems with the mail system, either mail it earlier, A, or B, you could still drop that absentee ballot off at your county clerk's office to be there prior to November 3rd at 8 p.m.
The problem with the mail system was that the mail was there, and it had not been processed. It was already at the post office.
What was it, Adrian?
In Michigan, ballots, it was a lot of stuff at the post office on time, and it had not been processed.
Well, then that would have been proven by the postmark.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
No,
Mama, you work for the post office. Tell us how it works.
Well, I don't remember about, we didn't have mail-in ballots like that back then, but I'll tell you how the IRS, you know, before we had this electronic deposit, you know, when they brought in their IRS forms, letters, you know, they were put in a separate tray than all the other mail. See, it wasn't mixed in with the mail. All they had to do is label the tray and send it direct to the IRS, you know. And I would think that it would be the same principle applied to the mail-in ballots. They were not mixed in with the regular mail.
Did it appear that way when you were going with those trucks and they had all those postal tubs that were marked as ballots? Remember when they were taking them off those trucks?
Hold on a second, Jane. Adrian, were you finished? Because I'd like to hear anything else that you wanted to say, so I don't want to have anybody cut you off.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a matter that there was a problem with our postal system here in the state of Michigan. I can't talk about other states. I can only talk about Michigan.
Sure.
That there were ballots in some of the post offices. I don't care that they were in trays or what have you, but that was the reason that they had to extend it, because they weren't able to get it to the right place by November the 3rd at 8 o'clock, or 8 p.m., I should say. So those ballots, because it was not the people's fault, that is why they did the extension. Some of the machines had been, the sorting machine had also been dismantled.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had heard that too.
But they had extended that date well before November 3rd.
Before they knew there was a problem.
Like in September.
Before they even knew it would be a problem, they extended the date.
Other alternatives, like I said, if you received an absentee ballot, you could have dropped it off at your clerk's office, your city clerk's office. You didn't have to put it in the mail. And they were accepting ballots that people literally mailed on the 3rd or the 4th.
Yeah, that's another issue. The postmarking of the ballots should have been done, traditionally is done before the deadline date, and in some of these states at least, either the courts or whoever was in charge, extended the postmark of the date to be beyond the deadline. So in other words, if November 3rd was the deadline, if the postmark was the 4th or the 5th, they still accepted them, and they shouldn't have.
I agree. That these ballots would have been considered first-class mail, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First-class. No. First-class mail is left in the office for any reason.
Boom.
Anything that comes in that day goes out that day. I find it hard to believe that there was stacks and stacks and stacks of trays of ballots that were not sent out. I find that hard to believe. First-class mail.
I do, too. I do, too.
I find that hard to believe, you know.
Well,
I don't know. I'm not quite understanding that. You're saying that by the protocol of the post office, anything that's first class that comes in any particular day has to be sent to where? The headquarters or where?
It has precedence.
It has precedence to be sent? Okay.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I mail something. I go down to the post office, I mail something. It has to go out today on the truck tonight. Truck leaves at 7 o'clock. From this post office, you know, takes everything to the processing center in Birmingham. You know, every piece of first-class mail that you mail has to go out that day. It cannot be held back for any reason.
Okay. Have there been instances of the mail not being sent out?
Not to my knowledge, it never was when I was working, ever.
Okay, but I mean during the night in question, you know, November 3rd.
Well, listen, let me just jump in here. Couldn't it be that thousands and thousands of people had a ballot? This is Michigan. I'm only talking about Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to the polls, you sent it in. Couldn't the post office be overwhelmed?
The post office was giving several million dollars for this.
I know, Kathy. I realize that, but I mean, how can you be prepared for avalanche of these votes?
By giving millions of dollars to you, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know.
It's assumed that because millions of dollars were given to the post office in preparation for November election. Yeah, it's presumed that there would be enough manpower. Did the manpower, as Adrian is alluding to, did the manpower break down?
You know what? I was just sitting here thinking, I'm going to call bullshit. Just for now, hear me out. Why? I mail my mortgage. I mail my car payment. I mail my cell phone payment. I mail my electric payment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, every month. I did it every month through the pandemic. My payment always arrived on time. Always. Every month during that pandemic. Even during the election time of these mail-in ballots. So I'm going to call bullshit.
Well, let me say this. Your utility bill is due on the 15th. You don't run down to the post office on the 14th or the morning of the 15th, you know, to mail it, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what happened to a lot of these mail-in ballots. They brought them in too late, see.
That's why I'm calling bullshit, because I mail my payment, and it is always there within a few days. And every day during every time during the pandemic, all my payments were there within a few days.
I mean, the post office.
At the same time, though, we still have to give a little bit of thought to the possibility that if, because the election night was, 74 million for Trump until, and what, 71 million for Biden until the process stopped, that there might have been a little bit of an overwhelming there. We have to take that into consideration. November 3rd, 2020 is not
the same. With the post office or the county?
November 3rd, hold on for a second, Gene. November 3rd, 2020 is not the same as November 3rd, 2019. So there may have been. So
right.
We have to take into consideration the possibility of that happening. Just to hear both sides.
Prepare for that, though. Because that's just like that time that they send that deadline out until midnight on tax day, usually the 15th or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
like
even
or 15th.
Yeah. And even if they were overwhelmed that particular night, still there were laws passed that allowed this avalanche of mail-in ballots and absentee ballots to be done. And it should have been done.
I agree with that, but I just wanted to give a post office a break.
So, Adrian, does that kind of answer your, you know, the kind of question you have? If not, then, you know, anything else you have to say?
No, I don't, Joe, I don't really have a question.
Okay.
In regards to any of this, really, I don't. I'm just stating some things that I have been told by people that worked at the post office, okay? I have a lot of friends and family that work for the post office. Also, as far as Gene and mailing your whatever you mail, I don't have any problems where I live mailing stuff either, okay? I mean, it's various different areas in our state have problems. With our Metroplex system, our main postal system, our main postal station. Also, there were a lot of people out for COVID. So, you know, they didn't have enough employees there also. And so those are things that we have to take into consideration.
Good point.
And we're still suffering in a lot of our areas where people are not getting their mail. Some of them are getting mail once a week. Some of them are getting mail twice a week. Like I said, I don't have any problems where I live, but we have pockets all around the state of Michigan where people are having problems, and it was due to COVID. A lot of the employees were out. So all of these things we must take into consideration.
You're right.
You know, and I try to, you know. And so as far as, I'm just going to put this out there. I just don't understand. I just feel like I've been in competition doing things most of my life. I've been in sports. And so I was always competitive. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You don't always win.
Right.
And you cannot always claim that somebody cheated you. And you men out here, I know a lot of you watch sports. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll say, that's a bad call. And I feel like it's a bad call too. But it went. And it was nothing could be done about that bad call other than we look at it later and say, oh, yeah, that was a bad call. Sometimes we need to move on. But we need to make the corrections so that it doesn't happen again.
You're right.
But we don't need to keep being stuck on this. We're stuck.
And there's no problem. And there's no problem being stuck on it.
We're not going to grow. We're not going to move forward. That's why I said, I just want to listen because.
Okay.
Okay,
like
that's why I'm like that.
Yeah, you know, jump on. Okay. Gene,
if I know something, you know, for a fact, I'll jump in and say, I know that this is factual, okay?
All right. Let me get 407. 407, you're on with Joe and the rest of the gang.
Yeah.
407, you're on.
Okay. Yeah, this is Nathan in Orlando. I was just sitting here listening. How you doing, sir? Listen, I was just sitting here, when somebody started talking about the mail being messed up, and I know last year was 2020, and there was a lot of different things that could have added to it, but here's something I noticed on the mail, and this happened to me after the first of the year. I ordered something, and I needed it right now. I ordered it on a Monday, and I got overnight delivery. I got tracking, and this thing comes down to Oviedo, Florida. I'm in Orlando, and then it goes up to Jacksonville, and then it goes to someplace, Pennsylvania or something, and then it goes someplace in Georgia, and then it shows down here a week later. And I'm like, ain't that freaky, but it's too late. You know, I needed it then. And I ordered something, and this lady from Mesa, Arizona sends it to me. She told me, it should be there on Thursday, and she mailed it on Monday. Thursday it was here, and then about 2 weeks later, the same thing. And it took 12 days for it to get here. And I was telling somebody, I heard a preacher back in the 80s trying to explain what faith is like, and he said the postal system is a good example. You go down there, you drop your letter in the mailbox, or you take it to the post office, and you just walk away from it, and you don't think about it anymore. You got faith that it's going to get there. And I just said, man, my faith just got messed up. So I just got my faith shattered.
Right.
Out. On the bad call that the one caller said there on the election, you know, we can accept things as they are and just move on. But I'm going to tell you, there is something here, because not saying this is a good gauge and it's hard to reach polls, read polls, but Trump had 88.7 million Twitter followers, and I know that not every one of those people that are on his account is that, you know, some of them is the enemy, some of them is just people gathering information for decisions. But he had 88.7 million Twitter followers, and Biden had 88.7. And I'm sitting there going, you know, something doesn't work out there. I just recently heard a poll about how the Republicans are going to win in the next election, and I sent something to the post post, and he made the statement that Rasmussen said that people, 76% of the Republican Party, this is back in 2020, he said 76% of the Republican Party is for Trump. In other words, not all the Republicans are on there. And he was saying he
right.
says propaganda. Well, I said, you know, I don't trust polls, but I sent him something in my county at the supervisor of elections that has how many Democrats, Republicans are registered Democrats, Republicans, and no party affiliate. 43% of the registered voters are Democrats, 25% is Republican, and 28% is no party affiliates. Now, I'm going to tell you what they say after every election, the people have spoken. When you look at how many no party affiliates, and my brother says that in Arizona they call them independents, and it's the same thing. The independents or no party affiliates outnumber the Republicans, and I think that's the message. You know, and it's hard to believe these polls when they say that, but we got this idea, and we've heard this for many, many years, that it's about 40% Republican, 40% Democrat, and then there's 20% independent, and the two parties are fighting for that vote.
Right.
You know, I don't know when that was in history, but it ain't like that now. I think the people are tired of the parties, especially the Republican Party. And it's time to be heard. And if they don't, I don't care if Trump does jump out there as popular as he is. This next election is going to – this is what I'm thinking Trump needs to do if he wants to win. He needs to find that car salesman or that doctor in here in Orlando that's running for office. And he needs to endorse them and say, and you know, the people will jump on that. But if you come down here and endorse, I'm talking about not you, but Trump comes down here and he endorses Rubio. This is the thing we know about Rubio. Rubio won with 84% when he ran in 2010. And they always say he was the underdog that came back. But then you can't answer, who did he run against? There was two doctors, Republicans, that couldn't get on any radio in the newspaper or anything. And when you walked in the polls and you seen Rubio and two other names, 16% split that vote for these two doctors. And so that there's how people see the games that really the both parties play on
sure.
keeping us in that paradigm. So
sure.
I don't believe we need to completely accept that this is the way it is. You know, I can accept that you keep stepping on my feet, but I'm going to move my feet. You know?
Yeah, but there's other
things. That's all I got.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Yeah, and something else. Well, I want to hear what you were going to say, but I got another question that's kind of a brain cramp.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Okay. I was hearing you talking earlier in the show about, you know, down in the states legislating the elections, and I've always had a brain cramp on. In the Constitution, it says Congress. The Congress is the one that's deciding this, the federal Constitution. Congress shall prescribe laws about the elections. And the one thing they can't touch is places. The times, manners, and places that Congress shall make laws. So whatever they give the states to do, they can do it. But one thing they can't do is determine where you're going to have your elections, because you might not want the church, your church to have elections in your counties at their, you know, polling booths. Or, you know, or you might decide we want to have a polling booth at the general store or the post office. The federal
right.
government can't get in that. The federal government can't get in that, but the laws, like, the states shall appoint electors. That is not the states deciding that. That's the federal government. And so the federal government, in my mind, should be the one that's making the laws on it. And after every amendment in the Bill of Rights and the amendments, at the end of them is another article that says Congress shall enforce this with appropriate legislation. And in the election, I was hearing this, and the states are the ones that's deciding. I heard Trump say this problem, the states he had a problem with, the states didn't legislate the electors. The legislature didn't legislate the elections, and I'm scratching my head on that. I don't think, based on what I'm reading, that the states need to be deciding what elections are going to be. I'll give you one example. The 24th Amendment says the right of citizens to vote in any primary. Right there, open primaries is the law of the land. There is no such thing as Florida deciding we want to be a close parties, where you got to either be Democrat or Republican to be able to vote, because it says Congress shall enforce this with the after that it says the right of citizens to vote in any primary shall not be denied by the United States or any other state for any poll tax, that's money, or any other tax. Like, you got to be a certain race, you got to be able to read and have teeth. It doesn't say that. You know, there's that. Those are conditions, whether financial or any other condition. So the federal government needs to get more involved, and I heard people saying in the last election too, we need to use the 12th Amendment and let Congress pick the president. But here's the problem with that. If you read it, the 12th, we could end up with a Biden-Pence ticket or a Trump-Harris ticket, because the Congress picks one in the this is in the case of a tie. But if there's a tie, that Congress picks, I believe it's Congress, the legislatures pick the president and the vice president. Tie is voted by the tie is fixed or voted on by the Senate. So you see, when I look at little stuff like that, I don't know if we really know what the Constitution's saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you're saying.
And before I get into any other topics involving the fraud, Daniel, before I forget, do you have statistics that you'd like to present? And because the show is going fast, and I want you to have the opportunity to present before we.
I'm gonna hang up. I'm gonna hang up and listen. Okay.
Okay, Nathan.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, Nathan. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Ethan. Joe, you were talking about what I was talking about earlier about the other countries and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to throw this out here short and sweet, because it is going quick. It was talking about, you know, I was reading about the dead voters, which, you know, make up a lot, but some people say they don't make up enough. Well, you know what, it just depends on how many times they voted, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, but in other countries, that's what I really got concerned when it started talking about that. Many other elections around the world involve claims about dead people voting. And the 2013 Zimbabwe general election, 8.7 million ballot papers were printed, 35% more than the number of registered voters. 8.7 ballots printed, 35% more than even registered voters. It was claimed that the electoral registers included the names of 2 million dead people, including one record raking Methuselah, aged 135. But when it comes down to it, international election observers were not allowed into the country to even look into it. So whoever they, you know, fraudulently elected, you know, got elected, and I guess is probably still in office, I don't know. In the 2015 Turkish election, there were reports of electoral fraud, including allegations dead people voting. Meanwhile, in Venezuela in 2013, there were more than registered voters than there were people living in the entire country. It was alleged that 300,000 votes were cast in the names of dead people. And that's, you know, I mean, you're talking about some serious numbers here. And it's even more than that over here.
Right. That's the same thing in L.A. County. L.A. County, the judge found out how many, I mean, they were taken to court by the, what is that, Judicial Watch, I think.
Mm-hmm,
I think
mm-hmm.
Fenton.
By Fenton.
And
yeah,
ordered them to clean up their rolls. They had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dead people's names. That had, and a lot of them had voted.
Right, it, right. 145 had voted for 80 years. And let me throw this right out there real quick, too. I'm taking numbers from 2012. Who ran in 2012? Chris Wallace got the trickle down his leg when Obama was elected. You know what? It was a historic time. I was excited. Everybody was excited when Obama ran in 2012
absolutely.
Against Mitt Romney.
Chris Matthews, I think, yeah.
Obama
yeah,
got 65 million votes. Romney got 60. So, you know, Obama won it. You know, you would think he would have won a lot more because the numbers I'm about to give you, Obama had 65 million votes. Now, at a historic time, 2020, 8 years later, Biden gets 81 million. That's 10 and 6. That's 16 million more than Obama. Are you kidding me?
I can't buy that, but I'm not saying he didn't win the election either. I'm just saying I'm not buying that he...
It's totally impossible.
Yeah, and I can go into the statistical facts about the voting too. But I also cut off Gene. Gene, I'm sorry to have cut you off before, but you were stepping on Adrian for a second. What were you talking about?
The lady I was talking about was the mail system.
Yeah, go ahead.
And packages, yes. I agree, they were overwhelmed with packages. The actual letter mail, I'm calling a bunch of bullshit. I'm sorry.
I agree.
It just, because if that were the case, if letters were taking so long to get from point A to point B.
What's wrong with your phone?
I don't know what's wrong with my phone.
I don't know, you're going in and out. It sounded good at the beginning.
Yeah, it was good at the beginning.
I hear you just fine, Gene.
You would, Melissa.
I hear everything.
I'm just saying my penis, you know, my mortgage payment, et cetera, would have been 30 days late, even though I mailed it, you know, on the first, if the mail was so backed, the letter mails was so backed up. So, I think what they did is they put aside packages to process letters. That I could see.
Mm-hmm.
But my payments got there. It's been there every time I mail them. Every time. I mail it on the first, I know it's there. You know?
Okay. Okay.
So,
you're just breaking up, Gene. Hold on for a
minute. You had a hard time with it? Okay.
Hold on.
Breaking news.
Tigers are winning 7-1 over the Kansas City Royals. And my wife has made the best damn pork roast I have ever ate in my life. Back to you, Joe.
Oh, that's right.
I thought
get
that was the beginning
and
of...
And I'll say back to me. Thanks.
Well, Joe, I'd like to say something.
Yeah, Kat, in just a second, please, if you don't mind. Gene,
sure.
Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay, and Daniel, I had to cut Daniel off. First, I want to get Daniel finished, then to you, Kat, and then to Critic in case he wants to say anything. And then...
Okay.
Okay? So, Daniel, okay. Were you finished? You weren't finished.
Yes, sir. I was done. I was done, yes.
Oh, you just saying that because Mom is saying she wants to
No, 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 no. It's just, I know I can even throw you how many people registered from 2012 to 2020. There is not enough new registrations, dead or alive,
right,
to make up that many million people. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Absolutely.
Dang. Sorry.
And I want to
Mama.
Dovetail from what you're saying before you get in there, Kat. It happened with a lot of districts here in America, too. There are a lot of people who voted beyond the number of citizens in that particular locale. How can that be?
Yep.
Then there were the mail-in ballots, like Gene was talking about, and we were talking about before. Also, what Gene had brought up on the show on Saturday about mail-in ballots in which there were no creases, where if you're going to mail-in ballots, you're putting them into the official envelope, had to be folded. But looky here, no creases in these particular mail-in ballots. Plus, I want to get into eventually.
Oh,
we still have an hour to go. I'm going to let you in, Kat, in about a second. But I just want to let the people know that if there's time, I want to get into the affidavits. I want to get into Giuliani and testifying before the state legislatures. And I want to give Gene a chance to elaborate on the absolutely 9-0. I saw part of it. I couldn't see all of it because, frankly, Lindell, who to me is a great American, he's put millions of dollars into fighting this corruption. But to listen to him just turns me right off.
We can back Gene up. We watched it.
Okay. So
you've watched it more recently than I have.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably can explain it better than I can because it's been 2 or 3 weeks since I watched it.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
I mean,
Daniel,
I'm not trying to be funny, but.
Go ahead, Gene.
I wasn't trying to be funny. It's just when it's that fresh in your mind, and I didn't have time to watch it today again. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's only 20 minutes for those who'd like to watch it. It's called Absolutely 9-0, in which Lindell says is absolute proof given to him by a whistleblower who is a specialist, been over 20 years in the business, of tracking down cyber attacks and how the machines were attacked from, he claims, the Chinese Communist Party.
It wasn't just Chinese. It was several different countries.
Several,
as well as here.
That's
United,
what
I remember. Right.
Not for it. Can I jump in, Joe, for a second?
Sure.
I've been good. Thank you, Joe.
Oh, you haven't been that good.
No, mm-hmm. I've been real good. I've been eating and listening. But, let me wipe the grease off my face. Anyway. The thing is, we know, I do think something from China because they wanted Trump out of office. But the main thing is to get the next elections right. Make them honest the next election. Make it where I go to the polls, I believe my vote's going to be counted. Right now, if I went to the poll, I wouldn't believe it.
Absolutely.
I don't even know if I vote.
Donnie, I agree with you, Donnie. The only part I don't agree with is if they're not held accountable for what they did this election, it'll happen again.
Well, yeah, I want whoever broke the law to be held accountable. But to me, the main thing is to make damn sure this doesn't happen again and then go after the people that did this, whether it's China, Russia, who, whatever the hell it is. Because all of them,
not only accountable.
Go ahead, Gene. I didn't. No,
I'm sorry. I finished. I was just like, just accountable. Is that all you want? Is that I'm just held accountable?
Yeah, and the purpose of the show, though, is in all fairness, we all believe that there was election fraud, except for one, and there's got to be plenty more who believe there was no election fraud. So we have to examine both sides, and I'd like to welcome anybody to call in because I will give you a shot to explain yourself in a logical manner as to why you think there was no election fraud. And until that happens, Donnie, are you finished?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
I was just wanting to ask if that was all you wanted from it, you know, for them to be held accountable and the next time it doesn't happen.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to clarify.
Because right now, I certainly don't have any faith in the electoral system.
No.
You know. So, Kat, what were you going to say?
Well, what I was going to say, I'm not, but I'm going to say something else.
Hmm.
The night of the election, and we were watching it, CNN. Trump had so many thousands of votes. Biden had so many thousands of votes. They went to commercial. Came back, Trump had lost 12,000 votes. That's what that conversation, I read the transcript where he called the Secretary of State Raffensperger or something in Georgia.
Right.
Find those 12,000 votes. Find them. What happened to them?
We saw it live.
We saw it live.
It did happen.
Thank you, Donnie.
It happened. Now, don't tell me there wasn't some fraud somewhere, you know. What happened to the 12,000 votes
that he had before the commercial break?
Before the commercial break. And when he come back, he had 12,000 less.
Yeah.
And
I read the
transcript, you know.
And guess who had 12,000 more? Just take a guess.
And for people that are bad in arithmetic, that's a 24,000, not just 12,000. 24,000 turnaround. That means 12,000 up. 12,000 had to be lost to break even.
Yes.
And then 12,000 more to go down.
Exactly.
That's
24,000
turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Now,
not just
forget about the ballots. Forget about all those. That right there should tell you something was wrong, you know.
I want you guys who have a better memory than I do to tell the people who are listening in about when the election was being forecast, when the election was going on mainstream media. And then is it true that were the projections stopped or did they stop the entire process saying, the polls are still open, but we'll be, the election counting has stopped. Did they say the election counting had stopped, or did they say the projections had stopped?
Well, they all went home.
The counting stopped.
The counting stopped.
At 3:30 in the morning.
Here's my question. I think that's the very first time in any of our election history that happened.
I agree.
Can I say something else?
Is that true?
That's the first time I can recall it has ever happened. Don't forget the Republicans are guilty, too, because they wanted Trump out of office also, the big wigs in the Republican Party, like Mitch McConnell.
You are right, Donnie.
The
Rhinos. Good point.
Go ahead, Donnie. Sorry.
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay. And let's not forget, Stacey Abrams is still contesting her lack of election in Georgia.
Yeah. She never did concede, did she?
Right. Okay.
All right, Joe, I need to ask you something else.
I'm available. Go ahead.
You know, I was looking at Bush and Gore, their campaign, their election.
Right.
You know, and what I'm saying is that this ain't about, you know, Biden and Trump. This is about fraud that goes way back.
And I think Gore won the election, by the way.
I think Gore won.
I do too.
That was pretty. What she's talking about, folks, is the mysterious hanging shads back in when was it?
That's correct. The hanging chad.
2004.
It's earlier than that, wasn't it?
Oh,
I think it was earlier.
I thought it was in the '90s.
I don't know, but I remember Gore's lawyers made a tactical error by only wanting to count in this one county. That one county. If he said, I want a less than wide count, he would have won by hands down. He would have won.
Yes,
and I
he would.
To man, because I did not want a Bush in office. So, yeah, I want a Florida win.
It was 2000. It was 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, so, see, that I did want a Democrat.
Go ahead, Don, sorry.
People, I'm saying that we have not elected our president in a very, very long time. No. Someone else chose who the president would be.
And made it happen.
Well, you know, I do think that in 2016, we did choose their president. I do.
Yeah.
They never thought, they thought that they were going to be able to do what they were doing because, I mean, they were, everybody was sure that Hillary was winning, remember? All the polls, all the exit polls had Hillary winning. They didn't think Trump was going to get those votes. They really didn't. They didn't think they had to safeguard against, you know, even more so against
the GOP. You're right about that, Gene.
Yeah.
I do think in 2016, as a country, we elected our president. Now, given from 2016 to 2020, they had to step it up to be able to ensure who they wanted in for president. Because with the internet connections and the flipping of votes and the mail-ins and, you know, without creases and, I mean, all the stuff that has come out, they stepped up their game to make sure. And, I mean, you just even watch the two campaigns. How many people were doing, vote parades and these parades at more Trump supporters at a Biden rally than Biden supporters. You watch Biden, a speech, and I mean, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Week ago, when Biden gave his speech and Trump gave his speech. So many more people watched Trump than they did Biden, even after he's elected. When they do the comments, White House stuff, there's more negative about Biden than there is in support of Biden. And there's more angry and laughy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, this one's extremely hard to swallow.
I'm going to throw a fly in the ointment, and maybe a critic can back me up on this. Most of us, we've watched Alex Jones every once in a while. We know who he is and what he's about.
All right.
Dave Pichesnik, when he was still in good standing with Alex, he was talking about how Trump was selected to run. Critic, did Pichesnik, I'm going again by my faulty memory, didn't Pichesnik either say because of the slip, maybe deliberately or maybe a slip, that they had to arrange a coup against Hillary in the 2016 election to get Trump elected?
I don't know about that.
I didn't hear that myself.
No.
It's possible.
You and Critic watch Alex Jones a lot more than I do.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you what,
uh-huh.
Alex Jones has been proven right a lot. 90% of the time he'd been right, and people called him retard, all kinds of names. You know, somebody sent me, Joe Biden, and I'm not, I just want the election fixed. Not election, but the election, how you vote fixed.
Yeah,
I was listening to what he and Hillary Clinton was saying, saying about a segment of our society, and I never heard so racist bullshit in my life. These people were, Joe Biden was on the damn floor of the Senate when he was, he didn't want his kids to go to a school with, predators and all kinds of crap, and you know what he was talking about. I just was shocked because I forgot about that tape.
Well, he didn't make it a nebulous statement. He was talking about Negroes and Negro savages when he was talking about that.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
He called some really nasty names.
Right.
You know, they were.
I was shocked.
something funkies or something, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, yeah. I was offended.
I was pissed when I seen this damn tape. Go ahead, Daniel. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think Joe was talking about Hillary Clinton coming after Obama was supposed to be clean up for the cabal, and we were supposed to do a reset with the New World Order under Clinton. What happened was, and I think this is what Joe's talking about under Alex Jones and what Jones was talking about, is a certain select group came in, tapped Trump on the shoulder and said, look, you know, you can run against her. We're going to unrig the already rigged election. Why do you think she wasn't out there doing rallies and stuff? Why was she not? Because she was promised the presidency. We all know this. Okay.
Well, she was going against Trump, and every poll had it up by, you know, 10,
right.
15, 20 points. So, you know.
And so they told him, we're going to unrig the already rigged election, and you will be president. That's why she was so mad, killing everybody, throwing stuff, cussing, calling people names, and she still hasn't conceded. What does that tell you?
And blaming everybody from Comey.
He was definitely embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you remember, I remember the election night, that particular night, and she was all the way down to the nth hour. She was ahead, then her lead was getting a little bit slimmer, and all of a sudden, like an hour before the polls were supposed to close, Trump wins.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, oh.
You gotta be kidding, right?
Yeah, you know. I was so happy he won. I didn't vote for him, but I was so happy he won because Hillary
did concede.
Huh?
She did concede.
Oh, she did?
Yes. President Obama told her to make the call, and she said she apologized to President Obama for letting him down, and then they hung up, and she called Donald Trump and congratulated him for on the win. For when
that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And
Thank you, Don.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, she
I'm
did
glad
that,
to hear
Adrian.
That.
Yeah, well, Adrian knows. She called President Obama.
Yes, I know, and I didn't like Hillary either.
I know you didn't. but she did.
I didn't know that.
Thank
y'all.
Yes. Yeah.
She did call. Thanks. Thank you, Daniel, for clarifying that. Okay, cool. One of these days, I'll go back and listen to Pachesnik's words again. I guess Kredig is eating a sandwich. So cool.
We do need to talk about the machine too.
Oh
being
yeah.
Hooked up to
the Dominion machine. Oh, and let's not forget before I get started on that about the history of corruption in Philadelphia, for example, was supposed to be the head city for corruption. New York, Tammany Hall. Okay? There is a history of electoral fraud going on for decades, so it should not be a surprise
the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Well, Democrats, Republicans. It's been going on for both parties for a long time.
Yeah.
But the thing is with the machines, the beautiful Dominion machines. And before the Dominion machine, let's not forget there was an organization called Black Box Voting protesting the Diebold machines, which were famous at the time, some years ago, for election fraud. But getting to the Dominion machines it's themselves, wow. Machines.
Well,
Did
you see the video done a few years ago with those machines about them being calibrated, and they were doing like a mock, you know, with like six people, feed in your ballot. Yours is a yes, yours is a no, yours is a no, and yours. And it was different every time they fed the ballots in.
They did that.
They never came out accurate.
Again, yeah, they tested the machines, and they found out that the machines could be rigged right then and there.
Well, they found one in Pennsylvania that was you voted for Trump and went to Biden, and they pulled the machine and they checked it out, and it was early in the game, so there was no game changer or anything like that, but they showed how it worked, and they gave four votes to Trump two votes for Biden, and it just completely switched. This Biden got four, Trump got two. That's
they
how.
Showed it, yeah. They called it tabulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
Oh, no problem. They showed that, first off, the machines are not supposed to be tabulators. They're not supposed to have the capacity to begin with to change votes. They're only supposed to count a vote, and that's it. Either a vote is good or the vote is bad. But you're not supposed to assign percentages like flipping votes for Biden or flipping votes for Trump. You're not supposed to have that capacity to begin with. You're not supposed to be connected through the Internet to Spain so that anybody can hack into the Internet connection and change the votes if they wanted to. That's what it was Dominion, but what's the name of the software that's supposed to be affiliated with them that was doing
Scorecard?
No,
you had,
Smart.
You had,
no.
Go ahead, Jamie. Keep on going. And anyway, it'll come to me. But that particular software was designed by, does anybody know the name Bill Gates?
We heard of him.
Yeah. It's kind of a small-time figure, but, you know.
Isn't he up and coming?
Huh?
Isn't he up and coming?
He'll never get anywhere. No.
Yeah.
He's trying, but he'll never get anywhere. And his company, Microsoft, this little old company in a garage, and they had something to do with the creation of the software. Also, the Dominion machines, as Daniel was talking about before with statistics with regards to countries, the Dominion machines were used by Chavez in order to assure that he would get elected every time he wanted to.
Yep.
They were used in Belarus also. Same thing happened. Person.
Aren't they the ones that were used over the recent elections over where the military took over the country? I can't get a name. I'm eluded. There's an M. Where the military took over
Myanmar.
Because the election was. I'm sorry?
Myanmar.
The Republic? Myanmar Republic? Okay.
And Bali.
Were they using those machines there too?
Probably. But Chavez is the one that's most famous for having used the machines. And
yes.
And yet, we're using them.
We do have to thank Michigan for bringing that to the attention. A little Adrian County up north, a little itty-bitty county, brought that into the mainstream news, into the spotlight, about these machines and how they're flipping votes. Little itty-bitty county.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been Republican, I believe. You know, it's always been for Republican, and it was going for Biden. And that's why they started checking into it.
Well, isn't that what happened in Maricopa County in Arizona? It was majority Republican, and it switched, flipped to Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but I guess, yeah.
I think so.
I think Daniel told me that. They were majority Republican. They've always voted Republican in Maricopa County.
Yeah.
And then it flipped to Biden, and people, you know, what, you know? So, but Texas refused the Dominion machines.
Yeah.
They did an extensive study. Their lieutenant governor and crew. Go ahead, Mama. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just going to say they did an extensive study before they bought their, what they wanted, you know. And, you can read the lieutenant governor's opinion on why they didn't. It's several pages. Why they didn't go with the Dominion machines because they can be manipulated so easy by a cell phone. You can go in there and manipulate these machines. Mm-hmm. And there was no way that, you know, Texas was going to go down the same road that some of these governors did.
And let's not mention the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party about, let me see, 2017. When Representative Maloney, or how she pronounces her name, Maloney, I don't know why she pronounces it that way, was talking about the machines, and she had written up a little report herself criticizing the potential of the machines to commit fraud. So here the Democrats are warning us, and then when it happens, the machines are fine. They're great. They're terrific. Biden's in there fair and square. Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, let's check the machines, and then they send a million lawyers down.
A good point, because that's what I wanted to...
What are you hiding?
That's what I wanted to get to. Giuliani, he made a good point on his radio show right after the election fraud. And he's saying, hey, people, if you want me to be the nut that you think I am, that you call me in the media, all you got to do is just investigate the machines. But they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in Arizona, with this audit going on, why did they say, if it was a fair election, I don't care which side you're on and you have nothing to hide, what's the problem with doing the audit? Why would you send 100 plus lawyers down there to fight it if there was nothing to hide?
Isn't that amazing? 109 lawyers they send down to one little county. To fight the audits. Amazing. And by the way, for those who are listening, if you want to call in, I think it's 347-324-3752. Again, 347-324-3752. Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say real quick, Republicans and Democrats, if there was, if there's any question, both should get together and share the money situation to get the audit done. If everything's fair, or you think your side won, well, that's fine. Let's help us do an audit. You'll share it, and your winner will still win if it's fair. That's fine.
Right.
Why do they go the other direction and try to stop the audit?
Because you were mentioning the Republicans and Democrats getting together. They don't get together in anything except political theater. Because all they are the recipients of lobbyist money, the Republicans and the Democrats.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. That is
absolutely
so true. That is so true.
You think the Republicans really want to? The Republicans were only on Trump's side after only the first 2 years that he was in office, because he was becoming very popular, and the Republicans didn't expect that. So they needed his support in order for them to get reelected to their seats. But Trump, the Republican Party doesn't like Trump.
No.
It's the Republican public. The people who vote Republican will like Trump. The party itself has been entrenched in the deep swamp for decades.
Amen.
Decades.
I agree.
They've been screwing us like the Democrats have been screwing us, and we haven't even had – I was going to use a George Carlin joke, but forget it.
We've never even been kissed for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for God's sake. What American people have to do is stop having faith in our electoral process. But can we blame the people? No, because that's our means of resistance. When people say, what are you going to do? That's what we do. We go to the polls on election night. We vote in the people who are supposed to represent us. But at the same time, people think they're our leaders. Well, they do have the power to make laws, which we have to abide by. But those laws also have to be constitutional. As far as I'm concerned, the real heroes in America are whistleblowers, investigative reporters, and all politicians. Go fuck yourself.
I'm with Joe.
Okay.
My question is this. It's basically what Kathy posed his question Saturday. Say they come back. They find that actually Trump did take Arizona with his audit.
Oh, good question.
Okay, and the Secretary of State there certified the election, not the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So, and say they audit, and Wisconsin is looking to do an audit too. Michigan's looking to do an audit. Pennsylvania, Georgia. There's 14 states total that are, that I think, that are looking Oklahoma. Have gone down there and are potentially going to do an audit. Now, all those states say they do this audit, especially the five main, you know, ones in question. They have shut down and ballot dumps at, you know, 3 a.m. See, it comes to find out that he was the popular vote in those states, and he was to get those electoral votes. Now, yeah. I understand holding people accountable for what they've done, you know, wrong, the cheating. I don't call it fraud. I call it cheating. Now, he won, actually won all those states. I mean, it's been rumored here. I've heard people say that Genesee County here in Michigan actually was red. And it all of a sudden dumped and flipped blue at wee hours of the morning, which Genesee County is traditionally a blue county, okay? Mm-hmm. So say that they find this. Would it not be right to do the right thing to put the one that the people actually elected in
the office? Legitimate winner.
And remove the one that did not win?
But here's the question.
I mean, we are in uncharted territory here. We are totally in uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no precedence for this whatsoever.
That's right. It's not in the Constitution that I know of, but maybe Nathan might want to come back in and talk about that. But as far as I know, there's no protocol that's outlined in the Constitution for what happens in case a president is either fraudulently or mistakenly elected. What do we do?
Placed
in
office.
Huh?
Don't say elected. Placed in office.
Well, excuse the hell out of me, Gene.
Can I
say something?
Go ahead, Kat.
I think I read somewhere where the audit was looking for foreign interference in our elections.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a big difference, you know, interference.
From what I understood, especially when they were looking at the mail-in ballots, that did not have creases, et cetera, they had to discount those, that would be domestic, not necessarily foreign.
Yeah.
So I would guess if they're looking for both.
Both, yeah.
Bill, what was it that you were going to, what was the point you were going to reach, Kat, about the foreign interference?
Well, what is the oath that our military takes, you know?
To
protect this country against both domestic and foreign interference.
Yeah. And let's not forget also in 2018 when Trump had foreseen what might have happened in 2020, he signed the executive order which gave him the national emergency power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He did not invoke it, but... in order to have invoked it, he assigned to the intelligence agencies the task of monitoring the election. And if they did find, this is going back to what Kat was saying, if they did find any kind of foreign interference, they were supposed to report it to him.
Right. And what Mama was talking about, just because I know her brain, the Chinese Communist Party sending money over here through lobbyists, through campaign funding, through the media, whatever, to get whoever they want elected. If that's proven that that anybody had ties with the Chinese Communist Party, the crown, what do they call it, the crown people over there?
Royals.
Yeah, no, the royals. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. You know, then that just, I mean, it's all treason.
Treason.
It's all high treason.
Mm-hmm.
Treason.
Well, I guess my point was this. You know, since there is no precedence for this and since we are in uncharted territory, shouldn't we be the ones to set the precedence of if something like this happens again?
Yes, ma'am.
That you know what, we found that you were elected or you were placed in office by a fraudulent election, and we found the true count was this, you are immediately removed, and you are going to face churches and place the person that was elected into the office.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, seems like it's just the right thing to do.
You're right, Gene. It will be considered a coup d'etat. They put somebody in office who was not elected. That is a coup.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to, you know, set a morale, a morality precedent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we, the people, should demand it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not just sit back and go, well, it happened. Nothing we can do. Let's wash our hands and we'll just, you know, wait until we can vote the next time. No,
we
should demand.
Right.
We should demand that the person that was actually elected be placed in office. If that is what happens, if that's what the shows, that's all I'm saying. If it shows that Biden actually won,
let him
stay. Exactly.
Let him stay. If he won, let him stay. That man deserves to stay if he won. If he did not, he deserves to go. It's that simple.
Right. And he deserves to have somebody wake him up and let him know.
Yeah, like Bubba in federal prison.
Right. I heard you used to be the president. Come over here, son.
We're in the shower. Did you drop the soap?
Yeah.
Get
I don't
out of here.
Yeah, he's going to tell Jill, Dr. Jill, I don't drop the soap in the shower anymore.
Unless Fauci walks in.
You know, Dr. Jill.
Okay, we really shouldn't go there, folks.
Okay.
I heard that Fauci is missing. Nobody knows where he is.
Really? I didn't get that. Then again, I haven't been on anything.
Check him out on MSNBC. That's where he hangs out.
Yeah.
Has he been on there lately?
I don't know. I don't watch.
Well, what do you
guys
figure about this turnaround in which Gates and Fauci are being given bad press? I don't see the bad press that is that significant. There's people are saying that some kind of legal repercussions could be applied towards Fauci and Gates. What do you guys think?
I haven't heard it. I don't know.
Because remember the email, Fauci supposedly deep up to his eyeballs in the funding of the Wuhan lab.
Oh, because of Rand Paul, staying on his ass.
We're talking about crimes against humanity now.
Hell yeah.
Can I interject a little bit?
No,
here?
You can't. You didn't want to come in before. Go ahead, AJ.
Look here, don't talk with me.
There you go.
2015, there's an article about Bill Gates and Fauci trying to get a patent on COVID-19.
I heard that.
In 2015.
It was back in 2015.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I still have that article because I read it. And how many people have had the vaccine? Everybody on this show so far?
I've got it.
Nope.
My wife's got it.
Well,
I don't think anybody else has.
Because I have a scientific mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will not be vaccinated. First of all, I don't trust Bill Gates. He's a genocidal person. He wants to kill off.
Right. Yes.
Is this the Adrian we know?
That's desirable. Fauci, he's a scientist. And a lot of times, being a scientist, they're thinking this hypothesis and theories and whatever, and they get so involved in that
that
they don't mind experimenting on people.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice.
Adrian. His science changes by the hour. His science changes by the hour.
Science does change by the hour, though.
That's one thing that
people need to understand. Science is never, ever going to be just one way. But one of the things that I have been listening to coming out of a lot of different people's mouths
is that they had been working on COVID for 2 decades.
I believe that.
Okay, well, COVID, in actuality, is nothing but the common cold. That's how COVID starts. It's a common
right.
cold. And so this thing in Wuhan, from what I read, the things I read, is that they were mixing the SARS and the HIV with the COVID.
Well,
this is man-made.
Adrian,
yes?
I don't know if you know this,
yeah.
but when I took my puppies in last year to get their vaccines,
okay.
they gave me a list of things that I could have them vaccinated for,
okay.
and COVID was on there.
Uh-huh.
And this was last year when they were just a few months old.
Uh-huh.
So COVID has been around for a very, very long time.
Oh, yeah. COVID, like I said, COVID is nothing but the common cold. And
right.
for decades, scientists have been trying to work on something for the common cold. Of course, they haven't reached it. But these are some of the experiments that I think is going on. This just happened. This particular one got loose. And
right.
this is what caused the pandemic. And it's metastasizing. It's you know, it's going into all different strands. And each strand is getting worse. But that's not anything unlike the flu.
Right.
The flu does the same thing, the influenza. And
right.
so if you start taking a vaccine, you're going to pretty much need to continue it just like you do with the flu shot. But
right.
And I'm going to say this, to everybody, do not take that damn shot without going to your medical physician.
Amen,
and
amen.
Sitting down with your medical physician and letting him recommend things to you because he knows your medical history as well as you know your medical history.
That's
right.
Well, I'm going to interject here right now because the doctors here are having it, and they're pushing it.
Okay.
Now, for one, I disagreed with it. I firmly believed it was man-made. I didn't want it. I wasn't going to get it.
Okay.
But I went home back in April. Now, my mother has been battling stage 4 lung cancer for 19 months.
Okay.
My dad's been battling stage 4 lung cancer since 2018.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. So I thought about it, and I did a lot of praying, a lot of praying for some guidance.
Right.
And I got the shot because if I had it, and I would have brought it home to them.
Mm-hmm.
Would have killed them.
It would have been sure death, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Missing,
so
my
that's
wife
the only reason I got it.
My
okay.
wife worked at assisted living, and she had to get it. And so since she got it, I got it. If not, I wouldn't have. But I understand.
Yeah.
I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is when I was on the phone with my mother, she asked me specifically, have you had the COVID shot? And I said, hell no. And I explained to her why before I came to visit. And she said to me, well, then you're going to need to social distance, you know, stay 6 feet away from us and wear a mask.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I started praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God knows when I'm going to die and how
yeah.
I'm going to die. So it really doesn't matter to me if I got
right.
the COVID shot or not anymore. Because when it is my time, it is my time, and it was destined
right.
the day I was born.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't tell people not to get it, and I don't tell people to get it. That's a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice. Now, we just had our township treasurer just passed away. He had tested positive for COVID, he and his wife. They spent 14 days in quarantine. They went back to be checked. They were told that they were negative.
Mm.
When they were told that they were negative, someone said to them, well, you know, you need to take the COVID test. And he said, sure, why not? Took the COVID shot. The next day he had a massive heart attack. He didn't die then, but he had a massive heart attack. And within a week, his body filled with blood clots.
Hmm.
And now he's no longer with us. Now, I don't know if the COVID shot did that to him. I don't know.
Right.
Because, I don't know all about his medical history. But one of the things that, for myself, what I look at is that you have what's called messenger RNA that's in that COVID shot. And that changes your immune system. I have to leave my immune system the way it is because
right.
My parents, both of my parents, died of leukemia. One
right.
was the red blood cells, the other was the white. And the white blood cells deal with the immune system. So I don't
mm-hmm.
know what that will do. It might wake up that little gene in there.
Right.
So
right. We just don't know. And then
yes,
I was.
We don't know.
And I was.
But my children, I have never denied my children to come home. Never. And in our house, we're pretty much always sitting 6 feet apart. And we've been sitting in the same room, but we're sitting far away from each other anyway. But I'm
right. Except when they're digging through your cabinet.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny them a hug. We don't do that. We don't. It's like we have the armor of God on us, and we just go ahead.
Right, and I get that. And then when I finally went home, I asked my mother, so when did you get your COVID shot? She goes, well, we haven't got ours. OMG. I was flipping furious, and I had to bite my tongue in half.
But because of the stage 4 lung cancer, see, it may not be a good thing for them to take it.
Right, right.
You know, so, and they may have, you know, the doctor may have told them not to.
Yeah.
Right, but the phone conversation I had with her, she implied that they had it done. She didn't say they did, but she implied a lot.
But she's trying to protect her baby, too. Now, you think about that.
Right, right.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there.
I'm just trying to make things a little bit lighter, y'all.
I don't know if you realize this, but the COVID shot was released for emergency release only. Okay, for emergency purposes only.
Yeah.
Now, I know here in Michigan, we were supposed to be lifted from the state of emergency in April. Our wonderful governor extended it to October. I think we're still under a state of emergency nationwide as well. As soon as that state of emergency is lifted, they can no longer distribute the COVID vaccinations.
The COVID vaccine is not FDA approved. It is only, it has an emergency order or emergency usage order through the FDA.
That's what I'm saying.
And
then as soon as the state of emergency is lifted off the country, off each state, they can no longer distribute the COVID vaccine because of that.
Unless they give approval.
Unless
the FDA could approve it.
But it's doubtful because they require all the rigorous tests. And they haven't done all the testing.
Look
so
at the chat.
That's highly unlikely. But can we go back to the election?
I just wanted to break it up a little bit so that you could just, get on.
This show was
well,
pretty
you
much
did,
dedicated
well, Adrian,
for the election.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Adrian.
You can go back to your normal show. Thank you.
No, we can talk about any topic that comes up. Oh, and by the way,
well, no, I was just curious what other people thought about what if.
Yeah. And
if it is proven.
And the person who's given the commentary there was Adrian, who said she wouldn't talk at all. Okay, that's all I want to say.
Yes, I did say that.
You are pushing that button, Joe. You better
realize.
Oh,
what? I'm gonna go on the show on Sunday.
Yeah,
I'm with
Adrian.
September the 16th. We won't be back on until then.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless something happens. Let me get another Skype number. I believe we know who this is. It's spinning. Welcome to the show. John Doe, I hope. Are you John Doe?
You think?
Yes, sir.
Hey, John Doe.
Hey, gang.
What you got, John?
What's up?
I've got nothing right now.
Okay.
Let me
say this. We've got 10 minutes before the official end of the show. For those who want to call in again, you've got 10 minutes. Otherwise, if you call in after 10 minutes, you will not be on the air. You won't be connected. But if you call in now, and if we do go beyond 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will be able to listen to us in the archive section live.
I hear a gas leak or something.
Something.
Yeah,
somebody's
I'm
doing
the background
something.
Noise.
Too. Oh, my husband's brushing his teeth and I forgot to mute.
He's brushing his teeth? Is he using electric toothbrush?
With a weed eater?
Like
with a weed
I don't like a damn sander going off over there.
I think you're hearing the water going.
Oh, I thought it was a weed whacker.
We're so mean.
Yeah. So, John, what do you got?
At least he's got good hygiene. Come on.
All right, we'll give him gold stars, Gene. What do you got, John?
He's just listening. Did you hear
okay.
him? Yeah, he's just listening.
All right.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
All right. Have you finished with the stats, Dan? Because you seem prepared.
I was, I was just prepared on a few things, but I just pulled up. I just dropped it, so ask somebody else.
Okay. So when you get it,
yeah.
Come on back.
Yep.
Kathy, I don't think you were finished.
I'll never be finished until I know for sure the laws of the land are being obeyed.
Right. Isn't that the truth?
You know, just obey the laws of the land, you know, the Constitution, our state Constitution. Just obey them, you know. We won't have this problem then.
Well,
yeah.
Except for the race of humankind isn't that way. As I've said before, if you take any country, China, Russia, America, Colombia, Canada, Germany, et cetera, and if whatever country goes to another planet and they're the first ones there, they won that race to that planet, and they find that they have true, civilized, intelligent beings there with weaponry that's far inferior to theirs. And that planet has a lot of gold, silver, uranium, etc. I'd like to ask you guys a question. Do you think, let's say America prospectors go to a planet and they find all those minerals that are now lacking in our planet. Do you think they are going to negotiate with the citizens, with the inhabitants, or do you think they're going to take it?
I
want my question answered first.
What did you mutter?
I wanted to know what other people thought about if they find that this was actually, if those states actually majority were for Trump. What do they think really should happen?
We don't know the protocol. So the people
okay,
will probably...
Okay, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We don't know the protocol. So... as a people, should we not demand that the rightful person is put in office?
It could be, might be another election, or there might not be, and as long as they, you know, they might fix the problem and punish the people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What we should do, it's going to be up in the air. We do know that those who are responsible, if it's illegal, if it's not a mistaken election, but a real, true election fraud, those who are accountable should be held accountable. Responsible should be held accountable, should go to jail for treason. We should either say Trump is the winner, or we could have the election all over again. There will be options, I'm sure, because we have Republicans and Democrats, and they are not going to give in easily to whatever the options are going to be.
Right.
And maybe they'll just prove one state had fraud and decide, okay, now we got to change things. Instead of looking at Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, maybe they'll look at Arizona and say, okay, we do have a problem. We're going to do this, this, and this to prevent anything from happening again in 2022 and leave it at that, because it'll be a cluster mess.
Oh, yeah.
If they decide to have another election. I can't see them doing that. I can see them looking at one state and going, okay, there was something happened, and, you know, it's going to be foreign. They're not going to blame anybody. It's going to be all but Russia and China. And then they're going to make sure it doesn't happen for the future elections of the country and leave it at that. That's exactly what would be happening, I believe.
I would take the opposite view. I would say that.
I would too.
Yeah, I would say that since a person is now assuming the office of presidency when he shouldn't be there, has to be a remedy. We can't let him stay there. I would think there would be a great debate about that.
Oh, I'm sure there'd be a big debate. But if they only check one state, though, that's not going to put up over Biden. That's what I'm getting at. They'll only check one and call it a day and say, okay, now we're going to make sure this.
Oh, yeah. If they only did it with Arizona, you mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, if they only find it, that's the only way to do it. Right.
And without causing a big problem.
Yeah.
But who would be doing the debating is my question.
What do you mean the debating?
You said there would be a big debate.
The Republicans and the Democrats would then,
You're talking the actual parties, like the DNC and the RNC. Is that what you're talking about?
It could be. Whoever would be Congress would pass laws and trying to figure it out.
Okay. But what does our Constitution say? We the people, not the Congress, not the Senate. We the people, by the people, for the people.
Yeah.
Do you not think that the people should stand up and demand it? Demand that they put the right person, regardless of what they want to debate.
That's why I said they will check one state, and if it comes back that, okay, something did happen, there was some fraud going, a lot of fraud or whatever fraud going on, they'll leave it at right there, because if they go any further, it's going to start a big mess, and they know
It's going to go farther.
I think it's going to go farther.
I think we should embrace the big mess. If it's there, we need to take it on and not kick it down the road.
I think the Supreme Court is exactly why they ruled the way they ruled.
I thought we all agreed the Supreme Court's compromised.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening in the streets, like in Portland and other big cities in Minnesota, and said, if we do this, this whole thing might blow up. I think that's what happened.
But it's not only that they're compromised. It was a matter of that they refused to even view the evidence. So they really did not make a decision based on evidence whatsoever. They should have at least viewed evidence before they made any kind of ruling. They themselves did not view what our system is set up to be.
Who's that, Nathan?
I think it's John Doe.
Oh, John.
John.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, you probably remember Joe. You remember on the Barge Logic, Kelly? He worked with the organization. Matter of fact, I think he helped found it or get it started, called WatchTheVoteUSA.com, and they've put together different groups of people to figure out a protocol and process that everybody could have validation and vindication that the vote integrity throughout the entire chain of custody was maintained from start to finish. And I'm not sure I understand all the different options or whatever, but the part that they were talking about was that, you know, like when you go into your precinct, every machine would have a camera over it, and everybody that wanted to would have address, you know, like the URL website address to that camera. So everybody at home could monitor the votes as they go in the machine. And then after they tally the machine, everybody that wants representation, because, you know, each precinct, depending on how big the precinct is, might have multiple parties. It's not always just Democrats and Republicans, or even just Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, because a lot of times Independents is actually a collection of multiple groups, because, you know, you got the Abolition Party, you got the Conservative
right.
Party, you got the Constitution Party, you got the, you know, Green Party, you got all these different parties that fall under Independent. So,
Excuse me for a second. 1 minute to go, folks. Those who are listening, call in if you want to. 347-324-3752. 347.
It's too late, Joe.
Too late? Okay. Sorry, John. Go on.
Oh, that's a good try, though, Joe. Thank you for the consideration and the sensitive heart there. That's what we need more of, you know. Love makes the world go round, and whenever you show deference to other people that don't always see things the way you do and you learn from their perspective, then you can sometimes be sympathetic enough to find unity, you know, which is what the United part of the United States of America is based on. But anyway, back to the story. Depending on how big your precinct is and the people that's in it will determine what parties are representative. Some of the smallest precincts, you know, would be representative with just Democrats and Republicans, but others that are larger would have multiple different parties. Well, if you have a certain number of people from each party group that are actually monitoring the count whenever they tally the machine summaries that come out of the machines, and then you got your other people, like I said, that are monitoring the cameras that are at, you know, the precinct while the people are inserting the vote into the machines, the multiple people at home watching the cameras over the internet, they can tally the votes themselves as they go and use that as a means to be able to collaborate with each other what is accurate and what is not. And on that level, and then at the level when it, you know, the machines go back to the commission or election board, and they're tallying up all the summaries, you have each representative party for that precinct. Like I said, certain precincts are going to have more parties than others, depending on how big your precinct is. And so if you have a certain number, you know, whatever, two, three representatives from each party group, then you know the Democrats and Republicans cannot play head I win, tails you lose. You know, we're both on the same team, but one playing the wingman for the other. And that's what we get a lot with the Democrats and Republicans. So if you've got the Abolition Party and you've got the Green Party and you've got the Constitution Party and all these other parties, you know, representative at that level as well, then you're guaranteed that the Democrats and Republicans can't collude. And I'm talking about the establishment Republicans and Democrats, because Republicans and Democrats at my level aren't going to cheat like that. They're more honest. But anyway, you get the point. This WatchTheVoteUSA.com is one website, and there's a number of other different groups that are doing these kind of things, and they have these conversations on what's the best way forward. And the more people we get involved in trying to determine what that best way forward is, the better it is that no matter who wins the election, we'll all at least feel that there was veracity and it was of integrity. But I just wanted to throw that in for food for thought, because Donnie kept bringing up the best point is, hey, whatever the situation is, as long as we find out the truth and moving forward, we eliminate these problems. Well, this is a group that's at least trying to figure out what to do as a part of eliminating those problems. Thank you for the time. Back to you.
Okay, yeah. I think the biggest problem facing all of America, and was symptomatic by the election fraud, is corruption. I think we can put in and think of ingenious ways in which we can guarantee that certain outcomes, I'm not even talking about the election now, but certain outcomes done by the government should be done in favor of the people. But again, the problem is corruption. How do we stop corruption? I think that's the biggest problem that everybody should think about. And as George Carlin said, who I think is the Mark Twain of our time, the public is corrupt. Because if we had a public which wasn't as corrupt as he thought it was, and I think it's about as corrupt, then where are all the good people of conscience to come along and right the wrongs so that we don't have the messes that we're in of such magnitude today, yesteryear, and probably in the future? How do we make sure that people outside of their own vested self-interests, which are, you know, against other people's, how do we make them, us, think of other people, think of in an altruistic way, in a rational altruistic way, of how to conduct our business the way it's supposed to be done?
We need to reinstate morals and hold people accountable again. People get away with anything and everything these days. I mean, honestly, there's an excuse for everything, and people can get away with pretty much everything they want to get away with.
Yeah, well, a lot of morality is accelerated nowadays because of the government. But even prior to, you know...
But we, the people, need to start holding these people accountable. And that's the way it's going to start, is by going to your township meetings, by going to your county meetings, by, you know, showing up, you know, and voicing your opinions at your capital and your state, and by actually literally holding these people accountable and voicing it. We've got to start doing that, and that's the only way it's going to start. It's got to start with us. Just like some of this racism baloney, it's gotta start with us. It can't go any. We can't expect the media to change the narrative. We can't expect the government to change the narrative. We are the ground floor. We need to change the narrative ourselves.
Yeah, I agree with Gene. The good people outweigh the bad. You're talking
about
a few that are in control of everything. Joe, I'd like to comment on what you said about going to another planet, okay?
Uh-huh.
We're living in the past. That's all we know is aggressiveness.
To go
That's
and
all
take.
We know. To go and take, invade another country, you know, enslave their people, take their money. That's the ones who have been in power have done for centuries.
Yep.
See, the aggressors. It's possible to go to another planet seeking friendship. Don't go there to make war with them. Maybe you can make some deals with them, you know. But it's what we, that's all we know, is being aggressive. That's what's happened to our election. You know, these aggressive people, and it's only a few of them compared to the millions of good people. They took it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it didn't trickle down.
Well, I think the cabal, of course, is only made up of a few. Who knows how many, just a few dozen, that control the world.
Yeah.
But in order for them to have a foothold on America, England, France, Germany, Spain, Portugal, et cetera, people there had to take the bait. They had to be willing to take the money.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's part of just humankind.
I think if we did go to another planet and if we did want to negotiate with them, if we could do it, okay. But what if the avatars, you know, like the movie, what if the avatars said, well, we can't give you this, what you call uranium or gold or silver at, you know, because we don't want anything that you want to give us in exchange, and we need this. I think American prospectors will revert to taking out their plasma guns and mowing down the citizens pronto.
Depends on who your leadership is, if they're aggressive or if they're peaceful.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could toss all the rhinos out, all of them? And
that'd be great.
We got the same thing going into UAW, same thing. They keep getting in the office over and over and over again, expecting different results, and nothing ever changes. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep putting the same people. Kentucky puts Mitch McConnell back in office. Yeah, there you go.
Maybe he won, maybe he didn't.
Well, he's there, Kathy. It doesn't matter what. He was there. He won.
I know.
And
what I'm saying is it could have been rigged there, too, for him to win.
But he still won. He's there.
But I agree with Kathy. And it's the same thing that we're talking about with the Trump stuff.
Yeah.
It's rigged. All of this stuff is rigged.
All of it. That's right.
It might be rigged, and I agree it's rigged, but I'm telling you right now, they're in office, whether it's rigged or not. They're in office.
Well, you can't just say it's okay then. You can't. That's what we've done for years.
I don't think it's okay, but until we get major league proof, nothing's going to happen.
Well, that's what the audits are going to be about.
The people gets union. Yeah, we got to get everybody on the same page, and that's not going to happen either for a long time.
And you're not going to get 50 states to do an audit because you can't just have a handful of states do an audit and say, oh, this is wrong. He won. No, you can't do it that way.
I like to
see all 50 states.
I definitely like to see California. I've seen some things in California that I couldn't believe was happening with those plastic, you put your ballots in, you know, those big tumblers. Oh, my goodness. And the people that were emptying these things, unbelievable. Come on. And a lady stopped and said, what are you doing? And they couldn't answer. And they said, finally, the guy said, We're taking this down to, you know, and he mumbled, and the lady said, well, where are you taking them again? We're taking them down to the counter. Okay. And the lady was going to put hers in there, and she didn't put it in there. She just kept...
Can I jump back in?
Yeah, please. Oh, I said, Joe.
Sorry. Sure. Go ahead, John.
Do what?
Go ahead,
John.
Okay. Thank you. You know, it's sad to say, but it's really a condition of the heart in humanity. Because if you look back throughout history, from the get-go, from the time our Constitution was ratified or even the Declaration of Independence, there's always been different groups of factions that have been trying to circumvent or subvert the whole system throughout the history. And it's continuing, and it's a weird battle of King of the Hill. And if it ain't a fascist doing it, it's a communist. If it ain't a communist doing it, it's a doggone Marxist. If it ain't a Marxist doing it, it's a socialist. If it ain't them, it's a feudalist. And then all of these different groups that fall in these different factions, depending on what country you live in, they don't even realize they're on the same team sometimes, and they're fighting each other, and it causes more problems. But to break it down for just this election, since this was about, you know, whether there was fraud in our elections and stuff and how to move forward, if you think about it from the precinct level, you go to your precinct to cast a vote, different states, you know, sometimes you do it with a digital system that's completely digital with your little, you know, that little dongle you plug into the machine, and some have paper and you put the paper through a scanner. The point of it is, if you have cameras at every machine and they are linked to the internet, where all of the people in your precinct, if every 100% of you want to watch those particular machines through that camera, you get to count and tally the votes as they're being cast. And that's at the point at which the very first, you know, contact you have in the election system. That's just one food for thought. And then, like I said earlier, the next level is once they get the summary reports pushed, you know, coming out of the machine with the, you know, most of them use a USB type thing from what I understand. I don't know all the 50 different states and all their different units, you know. But they take the tally of those into another computer, just send that or poke that USB device, like an external hard drive, into their computer at their election board, and that machine actually tallies all the votes. Well, if you've got cameras on every one of these machines every time it's going, and you have representatives from each party that gets to be physically present at each stage and, you know, chain of custody, then there's more likely that you're going to have integrity throughout the entire system. And that, I mean, I'm just trying to stir up enough people to talk about that aspect, because we can talk about all these grandiose ideas about, well, we've got to purge out all the corruption. Well, yeah, that's a very ambiguous thing, but how do we do it? You can't control people's, you know, emotions and their thinking, but you can control behavior. And whenever you have, you know, machines that you're putting the ballots into that are monitored by cameras that go out to the internet, where every 100% of the people in the precinct can be monitoring themselves if they want to, and recording it at their house, as well as the camera itself that's right over the machine that's doing a recording of every ballot that goes through that machine, then there's a means to be able to hold behavior accountable, at least, since you can't hold, you know, people's morals or values and stuff accountable, at least from a starting point. Do you see what I mean?
But I have a problem with it going out over the internet, personally. I think it needs no connection to the internet. There's too many hackers.
This is the camera, just the camera. The machine doesn't go to the internet. The machines have no connection to the internet. I appreciate you bringing that up.
The camera, I thought you were saying the machines needed
The camera is over the machine so that everybody in the precinct can watch the ballots being put into the machine, and you don't know who's putting the ballots in. All you see is the ballot going into the machine, and that particular machine has a camera over it, and you only get to watch the view of the camera. The machine itself has no connection to the internet.
Right. Well, and I know, like, here in Genesee County, I can't say Genesee County, but in my township, I'll put it that way. In my township where I go to vote, we put our ballot into the machine. It immediately counts the vote. Immediately. And at the end of the night, all our clerk has to do is pull up or print off a ticker tape. And the votes are already there. It's already counted for her. They've already been counted. Now, and then they have to verify that number matches how many people signed in, and you know what I mean, that kind of thing. But the numbers are already there.
They don't do that at the end of the night?
They just hit a button in the machine itself.
Yeah.
It runs off a receipt at the end of the night.
Yeah, but that's the end of the night. They're not doing that every time somebody puts a ballot in the scanner, are they?
No. At the end of the night when the polls close.
Right.
So then they add up those receipts, for lack of a better term, and make sure that the books balance with how many people signed in and how many ballots were handed out, you know, so on and so forth, to make sure that all balances.
Same thing in my county, Gene.
Here's the thing here's the concern that people had because of what you're referring to. You and I do not have access to the actual software in order for us to determine whether all of the software is actually legit or not. And
right.
In order to validate that the printouts that come out of those machines are legit, you have to have another way to audit the count before.
I understand.
You know,
I don't disagree with you. But that's why I think especially presidential federal elections need to be done on a paper ballot. So there's a paper trail. Yeah, it's harder to deny a paper trail. But as far as the camera, when we put our ballot into the machine, it's like basically wide open. Everybody sees you putting your ballot. You have to put your own ballot in the machine, and everybody sees.
No, they don't see you at all.
They do. Yeah, in my township, they do. In my township, it literally is very visible for, I mean, you can watch people putting their ballot into the machine as you're waiting in line.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I guess you got to go to watchthevoteusa.com and understand what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the camera that's mounted over the top of the scanner, the focus of the actual aspect ratio of the screenshot is only to see the ballots as they go in. You might see somebody's finger, but you're not going to see who they are or any other aspect of who's even close to that machine, because the focus and the zoom is so close to the ballot, you can see the votes and stuff, and you know what's on the ballot, but you can't see anybody who's putting the ballot into the machine.
Well, all I know is whoever says that my vote is a secret ballot is wrong, because when I go sign in, I give them my ID, they give me a ballot that has a number on it, and they rip off the bottom number, but the number is still at the top of the ballot. So all they have to do is cross-reference that number that's attached to my name, that's attached to my ballot.
Okay.
See, that's another good point. And maybe these people at the Watch the Vote USA have already covered that point, and they may have said that, and I just missed that part of it. But it's just something that we need to figure out, and you bringing up the points that you're bringing up are just as valid as anybody else's, but they need to be worked out in order for us to achieve what Donnie was trying to get us to understand. We've got to get into some kind of integrity throughout the entire
yes.
chain of custody to make sure that we don't have this problem again.
Right.
Can I say something real quick?
Absolutely, Daniel.
I was just going to say the three largest, I'm reading this from NBC News, the three largest voting manufacturing companies, election systems and software, that's number one, Dominion's number two, and Hart InterCivics three, have acknowledged they all put modems in some of their tabulators and scanners. The reason, so the election results can be more quickly relayed to the public. Those modems connect to cell phone networks, which in turn are connected to the Internet. Anybody that tells you that those machines are not connected to the Internet, it's just not true.
They don't know the facts.
And that's where the problem is.
That is the
right,
problem.
You're right. Yes, that is the problem. That is that,
at least
that is the reason
one of
I've
the
said
problems.
That.
At least
yeah.
one
well,
of the problems.
Right.
Well, as I was going to say, part of the problem is there are some states that do total electronic voting. It needs to be uniform across the country. It can't be, well, these guys are doing paper ballots here, and they're doing electronic, here, and it's got to be uniform. And I agree with Bianchi. It has to be paper ballots only. It can't be this, touch
right.
screen and, whatever. It's got to be uniform across the country with paper ballots.
Well, here's the only concern I think most people that follow the Constitution are going to have. When you start trying to dictate how other people are supposed to live their life and their pursuit of happiness, then you're denying yourself the same privilege and immunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm talking about
just making that statement, you voted yourself to be a slave to a dictator.
Yep.
I don't see how that would correlate by having a uniform federal election across the country.
You mean
well,
using...
as long as we all vote and agree to that, then that would make sense. But you know as well as anybody else, all of the 50 states are supposed to be independently deciding for themselves among their people how they want to do what they want to do. That's why they're called equitable self-governing free people. Otherwise, they're not equitable self-governing free people. They are slaves.
Mm-hmm. But that's in their state only. And when we're talking about a federal level, it's a whole different ballgame.
But it still goes to the point. Somebody's being the dictator. You're still putting yourself under a slave.
Not really. Because you're still, if you don't like the way that state's run, I mean, do you like what a lot of people did for Michigan? Move out. Move to another state. I mean,
but you're saying it's uniform for all the states at the federal level.
Just at the federal level, and that at the federal level, what do we vote for at the federal level? What do we vote for?
The thing of it is, if you let every person decide for themselves what they think is best, and we have these kind of open communication talks, we might achieve that uniform means of doing everything across the
country. Who's got a TV on? Oh,
what?
Somebody had a TV on, and I could hear the chatter, and I was trying to hear you, and it was like...
It's when somebody talks. Somebody's got some feedback.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
They may have a microphone or a speaker open, so the speaker is hearing us talking, and it's getting back into their microphone.
It's me. I'm spying on everybody, so it don't matter.
That's not happening.
I'm joking.
So if you're not talking,
I'm going to disagree. I think our federal election needs to be uniform across the country, and I don't think if they decided to make that uniform across the country, that it would infringe on anybody's rights, because you would still be voting. The real only one that you vote for federally. At the federal level, is president, to be very honest. You vote in your state.
Federal
but
senator.
In your state.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
But in your state only. The only federal office that everybody contributes to voting for is president.
Okay.
A question, Gene. Who will make the determination that, federally, that all of it has to be uniform?
To be honest, I don't know if it would have to go through Congress and Senate. I don't know.
Well, Congress
really
make laws, so.
Yeah,
right.
It'd be the states.
So.
I mean, the states are supposed to be able to do their thing however their state
mm-hmm.
people choose. But I'm just trying to figure out if it's going to be uniform and federal, who's going to make that determination? Is it going to be done by a vote of the people, all the people, or all the people?
Right. I see.
Not just all the people, all the people.
I personally, now that you said that, I would like to have it put to a nationwide vote.
Everything. I would like everything to be put to a nationwide vote.
Yeah, every law that's been passing, I would like that put to a nationwide vote, too. Yes, I agree.
Can I put a caveat with that? As long as the nationwide vote is a mutual assent vote, not a majority vote, we don't want two wolves and a sheep deciding who's for dinner. So that's why we have the Electoral College. If we didn't have the Electoral College, then we need a complete runoff or a mutual agreement vote, meaning that it's got to be unanimous consensus, otherwise it doesn't get passed. Otherwise, you're picking winners and losers again.
I see, can't have it both ways.
I agree. Moved to San Francisco 90 days before Pelosi's election, and so we can vote against her.
There we go.
I don't want to get stuck by all those syringes in the streets.
I just want to go there just to vote her out, and then I'll fly.
We can do that.
Yeah.
If you ask me, I want to vote everybody out that's over 65.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I want them all gone.
Let's do it.
Now, you know, I'm sorry. I know personally from people that are older, over 65, and they are sharp.
I don't care about them being sharp. They're old. It's time to let some of these young generations.
Thank you.
Because, see, our time, we're on borrowed time, all of us. As you get older, it's time for you to sit back and let some of these younger people come up. There are some there that's good.
I see what you're saying, Adrian.
But we shouldn't have a president, I don't care who he is, over 65.
But if no one has been elected, say, just for senator, and somebody older than 65 did run with some great ideas for your state, I think it'd be okay to vote them in for a couple terms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that.
Yes, ma'am.
We can't just put age limits on stuff like that because that's not right. But we still need some younger people because –
I know we'd love to see some younger people.
I think we need a good blend. We need a blend.
We need a what?
We need both. We need a blend. We need both. We need both older and younger. We don't need to say if you're over 65, don't. Mm-hmm. No, because you know what? It's like, we need a balance between the two or a blend. I can't say a balance, but at least a blend. We need both.
But we don't have that currently.
Yeah, we do.
Term limits. Term limits Congress and the Senate.
How many terms? I mean, how many years?
I don't know. A senator is 2 years at a time, maybe two terms. And
I've been there for 10 years.
Technically, we do have term limits.
Never mind.
Technically, we do. It's called going away when you vote. You technically do have term limits.
We don't have term limits that mean that you can't run again.
Right.
For that.
I understand what that means. If we looked at the
Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it was supposed to be set up that nobody was supposed to be in there forever.
Right.
It was always set up that any citizen that wanted to run for office would be able to run and he would get a term.
And, Adrian, they were not full-time jobs either.
And that is correct.
That's right.
That is right. That is right.
They weren't full-time. You had your job.
And as much as they work, they should go back to part-time.
Mm-hmm. They are part-time.
They are.
They exactly are.
Always on session, or what do they call it, and always going home.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, I have 6 weeks here, 6 weeks there.
Yeah, they're getting ready to go home now, aren't they?
I thought they were already home.
At the end of the month, and they're done for the summer?
Yeah, there's a lot of them home right now because I seen a committee hearing going on. There was two people. There was... Cruz was talking or interviewing one of Biden's appointees.
Oh,
and there was only him there. Oh, yeah. One of the Democrats were chairing it. So there were three people.
What a mess. Well, they're still doing virtual committee meetings, too.
Yeah.
Are they
still
doing
that? Half of
them
can't get it to work, but, yeah, they try.
Yeah.
They're trying. But, yeah, I understand. I think I don't know. Somebody just sent this in. Hold on. I don't even know what it is, kid.
This is in Texas under Cruz.
What is this?
Mr. President.
Senator.
We gathered together at a moment of great division, at a moment of great passion. We have seen and no doubt will continue to see a great deal of moralizing from both sides of the aisle. But I would urge to both sides perhaps a bit less certitude and a bit more recognition that we are gathered in a time when democracy is in crisis. Recent polling shows that 39% of Americans believe the election that just occurred, quote, was rigged. You may not agree with that assessment.
What the hell of a lot of
people. But it is nonetheless a reality for nearly half the country. I would note it is not just Republicans who believe that. 31% of independents agree with that statement. 17% of Democrats believe the election was rigged. Even if you do not share that conviction, it is the responsibility, I believe, of this office to acknowledge that is a profound threat to this country and to the legitimacy of any administrations that will come in the future. I want to take a moment to speak to my Democratic colleagues. I understand. Your guy is winning right now. If Democrats vote as a bloc, Joe Biden will almost certainly be certified as the next president of the United States.
Well, this is before.
I want to speak to the Republicans who are considering voting against these objections. I understand your concerns, but I urge you to pause and think, what does it say to the nearly half the country that believes this election was rigged if we vote not even to consider the claims?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, whoever sent that to me. All right. Hello?
Was that before the election?
They haven't voted to. They haven't got Biden certified yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
All this stuff.
Go ahead, John.
So, all this stuff really goes back to each of you have brought up points that we just can't get around. And the biggest point is what Joe was saying is that, hey, as long as people are willing to duke and we don't have any veracity, you know, working off of truth and stuff, we're really stuck in a hole. All we can do is try to figure out strategies and techniques that will maintain some form of audit on behavior.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good assessment.
By the way, where did Joe disappear to?
Joe has left the building. Melissa has left the building also. So.
Well, Joe is the host. Where'd he go?
I don't worry, but he's not here.
I thought he was the host.
He was.
Wow.
He might have dropped. That happens sometimes.
Yeah, it does happen.
Whatever. There's three people. What?
We were all agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
That it does happen.
Yes, it does. Right now, you can't call back in. So.
Right.
We can't call him, can we?
No.
Oh, well,
if you have a three-way
number,
we got a good group of people.
If you have Daniel, if you have a three-way conversation type set up on your phone, then you can put this call on hold and then call him and then add him to it.
Do we have three-way?
I don't have his phone number anyway, guys. I do not have his phone number. He dials in with Skype, and he's very protective of his information.
Gotcha.
The only one I've got is Pianchi's.
Yeah, where's Pianchi at?
Missing in action.
He would have some great insight on this.
Yeah.
I mean, as we all have, you know, I mean, everybody on here, I mean, I'm just pleased. Everybody has been great.
No,
Go ahead, Mike.
We got kicked off Saturday night, too, didn't we?
Sure, I forgot about that.
Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah.
11:35.
Well, it came about, half hour after the show was over, supposedly? We went in about another half hour, and then it booted us all off.
Yeah.
Oh, we had an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got tired of hearing us.
11:35. Like we couldn't get on Sunday. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't get on it on time on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I had a hell of a time last night. Wow. And that same thing happened tonight, too. And I had to do a little of this and a little of that, and it came back finally.
Something's going on.
Yeah, it is.
Because I've been seeing strange things occurring on my computer.
A lot of things are happening. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, Adrian.
I don't know.
I don't care what side of the fence you're on.
You're right.
You better believe it. I felt sorry for President Biden today. I really did. He got kind of lost.
Oh.
And that's not a funny thing to me. That's not funny at all. He got kind of lost. He got confused with Syria and Libya and... And they kind of mumbled, and I can't help but feel sorry for the man. Mm-hmm. And wonder why his family didn't do that. Why did his family didn't do that?
That's what angers me, is like, why is his wife, especially his wife, allowing it? You know, she's supposed to be his, you know, his right hand. You know, she's supposed to protect him as much as he's supposed to protect her.
Right. Well, right now he's not capable, and she is, and she, I guess she enjoys being first lady over being, you know, her husband, and taking care of her husband. But I don't know. I don't know if she even had a say-so in this. I don't know. I would have really looked at Tulsi Gabbard if she was the nominee of the Democrat Party. I really liked her. I don't know if anybody else did, but I really liked her. I liked her views on a lot of things. That's when they asked her questions.
She was the best Democrat, right?
I thought so. She was strong. She was an old-time Democrat, you know. She wasn't one of these... She didn't raise her hand when they said, you want to give everybody health care, illegals coming over the border, make them citizens. She didn't raise her hand. Everybody else did.
And she's also pro-Second Amendment from a military standpoint, big time.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I really, I liked her. She reminded me... Well, of course, I was only 8-9 years old, but John Kennedy, after I got older and read a little bit and listened to a lot of his speeches, she reminded me of him. And I don't know what happened to that party. I just don't know what happened. How did they let it get hijacked like that? But they did.
In my humble opinion, Donnie, it's always been hijacked. They just like to put forth enough information out there to make us think that each party is staying true to its colors, so to speak, just as a scam to keep us biting on that hook.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Good point.
Neither one of them are any good.
Right.
They've both been hijacked.
Have been.
Adrian and I agree with that 100%. We finally can agree on something, right?
we agree.
We can agree. We agree on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I keep speaking about the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what's running our country.
Right.
And they're doing it right through these people that we elect. I got a new attitude about my research now.
Yeah.
And, if I see that the corporation is donating too much money to a candidate, I'm not voting for that candidate. We got to get the corporations out of this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to challenge each of you real quick. You yourself are a corporation. Believe it or not.
I'm what?
A corporation. I would challenge each of you. And I did this, and I was floored because I didn't believe it either.
Mm-hmm.
You take your checkbook, and you know the line in which you sign your name? Magnify it and read what that line is. It is not a straight line. It's you're signing as your corporation on that check. I challenge you all to do it. I did it. I was blown away.
You're talking about a different. You're talking about a different type of corporation. I'm talking about.
You are,
I'm talking about these big, big money, wealthy
I know what
corporations.
You're talking about.
They're the ones that's running the country.
That's right.
Not
I
us
understand
little
that.
Signing our names on a check, because a corporation is what it's
an entity. Yeah.
Entity that yeah. they have chosen to make it be a person.
And they
I still challenge
they
you to do it.
Money to both they give money to both parties.
Yes, they give money to both parties. Big money.
Yep.
So whichever one wins, they get the favor from. So you know.
There
right.
we go.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care about us.
No.
The little
no.
citizen.
Right.
No.
It's all about them. It's greed. It's greed. Greed. Greed.
Me and Mama talk about that all the time, Adrian.
Yeah, power, greed. Power,
greed.
Greed
and power. And there's nothing we can do about it.
Yes, it is.
You know,
we
a
can,
citizen,
we can
vote.
Try like hell to get
right,
them.
Right, right, right. Right, you're right. You're right, you're right.
No matter who they are, we can try like hell.
This
to get
greed
people
is
in
so
there that
deep.
Have a heart
oh.
for the citizens.
Right, right.
Why, Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
I like
yeah.
him.
Hey,
I like Ron.
Yes. Hey,
like,
yes, I'm here.
That's why I appreciate you coming on this show and trying to help see from other perspectives, because like you were just saying, we got to get past the parties, we've got to be Americans, and we've got to quit letting them divide and conquer us. And the only way we can do that is to try to get past the labels and look at the issues and vote, you know, on how to help each other come to a consensus of moving forward together.
That's right.
No, thank you.
I agree.
Good point, John.
Yeah, good
They've
point.
They've got us so divided that
we don't know which way we're going.
Yeah, huh? We don't know up or down or sideways. It's just terrible.
You're right. We just know what they tell us.
Yes.
I mean, really?
Even when you look at these news, these local networks and all of the cable news, you find that journalism isn't true journalism.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
It hasn't been for a long time.
It hasn't
right.
been for a long time. They give you bits and pieces, some truth, and a lot of untruth.
Now, Adrian. I know you're going to know this name. I know you're going to know this name. I want your opinion. His name is Charlie LaDuff.
Oh, I remember Charlie.
Now that is one hell of an. You know he's back in Detroit, right? That's one
oh,
hell
is
of an. Yeah, he's investigating our governor, and he's coming
Ooh.
Up with a lot of stuff. He
okay.
is the best investigative reporter I have ever seen.
He is very good.
Yes, he is.
And usually, I haven't caught him in a lie. I have never caught him in a lie. So,
well, he better watch out because they'll get him with that dead gum, that heart attack gun. You know what I'm saying?
They might.
He better watch out.
That's a possibility.
Well, he's like bullets to the back of the head.
Well, he's been doing this for, I can't even tell you how many years.
Yeah.
But they fired him, didn't they? Once.
Oh, he left for where did he went? Yeah, I can't remember where he went. But then all of a sudden he ends up on Tucker's show talking about our governor. That's the first time I seen him, and I don't, you know, been a few years. And he's saying he's getting to the bottom of this Whitner. He doesn't like her at all either, and. Charlie, yeah, he's the last reporter I really, that's the only one I can think of. And we're lucky to have him.
Hey, can I ask what's this heart attack machine?
Oh. What say, John?
I said, can I ask what's this heart attack gun?
Well, some of us believe the CIA has had it for years. And
well, hold on. There's proof they had it for years. There's
oh, really?
Proof.
I didn't know that's proof.
There's a go to, you remember the church committee? Does anybody remember the Senate church?
It's from 1970?
Yeah. They put guns, I forgot who was running the FBI, and I cannot remember. They had the heart attack gun out there. They had different guns and things that they used, but they didn't have it all, of course. But they had the heart attack gun, and they explained how it worked. And it's so little, you don't even know you've been hit. It's a little needle, and you're dead. You're going to have a heart attack right now.
Andrew Breitbart was a young man, and he was just running down the street, walking his dog, and bam.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah. That went around the computer a lot, but I think he had a bad heart to begin with. So.
Oh, did he?
I never
heard. I don't know.
Yeah. Andrew had a bad ticker.
Hey, talking about the church committee from the 70s, that was from the Nixon Watergate scandal issue, right?
I can't remember. I can't remember if it was before or after.
The church committee was named the church committee because the guy that headed up the investigation Hillary Clinton was a part of was the church committee investigating the Watergate scandal.
Well, this was his committee. Yeah, I don't know what he did. I can't remember who did what in the Watergate thing as much as I can remember this FBI. And it was his committee that they had a hearing and they brought out all these things. But that heart attack gun is a real McCoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what I thought was ironic in the conversation is that here you're bringing up this church committee stuff and all that from the Nixon Watergate scandal stuff, and everybody's always talking about how Nixon was so corrupt and stuff and relaying that to how our media works today. It's like every administration is really actually just repeating the same corrupt nonsense that they learned from Nixon. They just keep embellishing it to another level, and the deep state gets thicker and deeper and broader.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, let's see if I can find that. I used to have that tape. Oh, here it is right here. First one. Let me see what it says.
Welcome to Real America on C-SPAN 3's American History TV. 40 years ago, in the wake of Watergate, the United States Senate created a special committee to look into the activities of U.S. intelligence services. The committee had a long official title. It was the Senate Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities. And it quickly took on the nickname of its chairman, Frank Church, and it was best known to history as the Church Committee. Well, the committee met for 16 months. It reviewed more than 10,000 documents. It called 800 witnesses before the committee and its staff. Its legacy includes the creation of the Senate Permanent Select Intelligence Committee, providing ongoing oversight of the intelligence agencies, and the creation of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, which we know as FISA. The Church Committee's public hearings were held in the historic Senate Caucus Room, scene of the Watergate hearings only 2 years earlier. Next, we visit the Caucus Room to meet Kate Scott, Associate Historian of the Senate, who explains how and why the Church Committee came about. And
well, never mind. I don't want to. It says he's holding the gun in his hand, so I thought that was what he was going to talk. I thought that was going to be talked about. I'm sorry. But he's holding the heart attack gun. And hold on. Here it is. William Colby was the FBI.
The Senate seemed unimpressed. Perhaps it was because they already knew too much.
Okay. It's a Church Committee hearing, CIA, William Colby, 1975.
Each senator arriving with a fat, orange-colored notebook crammed with classified material about the CIA, all marked top secret. After 5 months of closed-door investigation, of talking in private with intelligence agents and officials, most of the senators now agree with Chairman Frank Church that the CIA has indeed than a rogue elephant out of control. So the testimony of Colby didn't allay the suspicions. The hearings took place in the historic Senate caucus room, scene of the dramatic Watergate investigation just 2 years ago. The press was back in great numbers today, but not the public. There were, in fact, no long lines, and the seats reserved for the audience were at times only two-thirds filled. As someone said, after what has happened in this country during the past 2 years, there are no more future shocks. But whether there are shocks or not, today's open hearing did focus major attention on the way the CIA has gone about its business in the United States. The
subject today concerns CIA's involvement in the development of bacteriological warfare materials with the Army Biological Laboratory at Fort Detrick, CIA's retention of an amount of shellfish toxin, and CIA's use and investigation of various chemicals and drugs. The relationship between the CIA and the Army Biological Laboratory at Fort Detrick as an activity requiring further investigation surfaced in late April of this year. It resulted from information provided by a CIA officer not directly associated with the project in response to my repeated directives that all past activities which might now be considered questionable be brought to the attention of agency management. Information provided by him and by two other officers aware of the project indicated that the project at Fort Detrick involved the development of bacteriological warfare agents, some lethal, and associated delivery systems suitable for clandestine use. A search was made for any records or other information available on the project. This search produced information about the basic agreement between the Army and the CIA relating to the project and some limited records covering its activities from its beginning in 1952 to its termination in 1970. In the course of the investigation, CIA's laboratory storage facilities were searched, and about 11 grams, a little less than half an ounce, of shellfish toxin and 8 milligrams of cobra venom were discovered in a little-used vaulted storeroom in an agency building. A major early requirement of the agency was to find a replacement for the standard cyanide L pill issued to agents in hazardous situations during World War II. This was the basis on which eventually we discovered the shellfish toxin. The only application of this toxin was in the U-2 flight over the USSR in May 1960, during which Gary Powers carried such a device concealed in a silver dollar. In the Powers case, the grooves of the drill were filled with shellfish toxin. He obviously did not use it and was not instructed to do so. It was offered to him to provide him with an option. The Powers flight was the only time we are aware that the toxin was provided for operational use, although the L pill was made available for earlier flights. The primary agency interest was in the development of dissemination devices to be used with standard chemicals off the shelf. Various dissemination devices, such as a fountain pen dart launcher and an engine head bolt designed to release when heat appeared to be peculiarly suited for agents for clandestine use. Available records do not indicate that all specific items were developed exclusively for the CIA, as work on similar devices was also done for the Army. At the time the toxin was found, the officer responsible for the project in 1970 stated that he had no recollection as to how it got there. On the 30th of June, discussions were held with a retired agency officer who had provided the initial lead. This man, who had been the GS-15 branch chief in 1970, stated that the toxin had in fact been moved from Fort Detrick and stored in the laboratory. This was done on the basis of his own decision after conversations with the responsible
project
officer.
I'm going to move this up a little bit so everybody...
In terms of its lethality.
All you have to do is go to YouTube and put in church committee hearings and this, you know, there's all kinds of things. And you'll see Frank Church holding the heart attack gun in his hand right there. And he wants to know what the hell, what is this?
James Bond 007 coming to life, huh?
That's it. That's it. And I don't know who's the president. Oh my goodness, I can't remember the president. Do you all think there's UFOs in the world?
Of course.
I think so.
You know what it is.
There's something here.
There's something here, then, yes.
Okay.
Hey, Donnie, were you saying the President of the United States or the President or something else? In 75, it was Ford.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember that.
I was 20. Well, me and Adrian were 20 years old.
Right.
Sorry, Kathy. That's why you were buying a beer for me. You were 21.
Oh, no. You know it was legal
here
legal. At 18. We could buy alcohol at 18 here.
Yeah, but if you remember correctly, during our 18th or 19th and 21st birthday, they changed it on us. I don't know if you remember that. They went
I don't really because I have been going in bars all my life. So.
So was I, but I remember it changing. And when I had my 21st birthday, the owner of the cabaret said, I cannot believe you've been coming here since you were 18. Yeah, all these years. And I've been, all right, Charlie. Anyway, Jackie Gleason was friends, and I can't remember the president. I think it was, gosh, dang it, I can't remember. It was in one, it was in my lifetime.
Okay.
And I know it was Reagan. They're all in California.
Oh, yeah, Reagan was an actor.
Yeah. And when he's the president, he was good friends with Jackie Gleason, and he said, "Hey, let's go for a ride." And he ditched the Secret Service, and he went to a Air Force base base somewhere in California. I don't know where. And they went in and showed him Jackie Gleason remnants of a flying saucer. A V shape. It wasn't a flying saucer. And there was one that looked like a cigar, it was a Tic Tac, just like the ones you see right now with the Air Force. It looked like a little Tic Tac. They call it Tic Tac. And he said, "We do have little Martians," or he said, "I don't know what they are, but I call them Martians." And that I knew it all along. He said, "I seen UFOs out my window when I'm flying." And Jackie Gleason waited till everybody died off or it was declassified. That wasn't declassified, but he wrote it in his memoirs. And he said he was so shocked he couldn't talk for the rest of the night. So they are hiding stuff from us in the third dimension. Oh, yeah. And who's the guy that did the third dimension or the third? What's I don't know the
Rod
movie.
Sterling?
I don't know what.
Rod
no.
Sterling?
No, no.
Third Kind.
Something of the Third Kind. I don't know the names of these things. He's seen it also later on, years later, he's an FBI, retired FBI agent, said, "Now, if you've seen that movie, a lot of that movie is true, especially the music. Remember, I guess there's music, this thing plays music or somebody plays music to this thing. I don't know. But we send music in space right now."
Mm-hmm.
"Just in case." And he said that movie is about three quarters true. So there you go. Believe it or not. I don't know. I've never seen it.
I don't believe it.
I do believe there's, we're not alone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many planets. I'd be foolish to think we're the only ones.
Right. It'd be a big waste of space, y'all.
Yeah, and they found water.
Go ahead, Donnie.
No, they found water, and they said, that starts it all. They got...
Hey, the latest I've read on Mars is several different spots on Mars. Of course, it's, four times bigger than Earth? Anyways, but several different spots on Mars during our year, for 100 days, it has frost.
Yeah.
Now, how could the surface have frost if you know, well, it, you know,
you
could
know.
Live. We could live there. You could, you know,
that's right.
Convert frost to oxygen.
Yeah,
and so that's just, you know,
a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have some strange things happen to them, and I can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff. I don't know. I do believe it. I feel like I'm married to an alien sometimes.
When's the next Skinwalker Ranch coming out?
What day? What's the day?
Monday. I don't know, Monday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, good deal. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to catch up. I had to go through the first and second season. So I could catch up.
Oh, I haven't even done that.
Yeah. They brought a young lady from the University of Alabama, Huntsville, down there.
Ooh.
And they were shooting off rockets. I don't know if anybody watches the Skinwalker Ranch. It's pretty interesting, I can tell you that. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Bigelow Enterprises. Bigelow, that's the name I couldn't remember last week. That he,
yeah.
They did secret experiments out there, and it's still classified.
Wow, I mean.
Yeah.
The stuff that we are able to catch just on their live video recording the show is
right.
Unbelievable. Could you imagine what they have that they can't show us?
Yeah, I wonder what they have that they can't show us. Bigelow,
I mean,
you know, the government paid, you know, Bigelow when he owned the ranch
mm-hmm.
to do experiments and all classified.
Hey.
Go for
hey,
it.
Bigelow T, it's out of this world, man.
out of this world.
You know,
right.
Y'all shouldn't tell me stuff like that. And I got all that Bigelow T in there. I'll be in there and threw it all away.
Well, you hang on to that T. Before this decade's over, we might need all the T we can get. You just never know.
No, that's
yeah.
right.
But anyway, we'll be back Saturday night, folks. Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got John Doe. We've got Adrian. We've got Bianchi, Joe, Kathy, Daniel, Cinnamon,
mm-hmm.
Gene. Who am I? Your critic?
Nathan.
Yeah, Nathan. Pops in. And a few people in the chat room. Matter of fact, they were in the chat room last night in the UAW show talking. Red Pill and who's the other one, Daniel?
Flycatch.
Yeah, Flycatch. He was
Flycatch,
and some
yep.
couple other people are in there talking politics while we're talking UAW.
Oh.
Weird to me.
I always wondered if during your UAW show if people call in to talk politics, you know, off subject, you know, of what y'all are talking
yeah.
about.
Well, sometimes, you know, with our union, you know, when the big three, sometimes politics is a part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
yeah, true.
We usually discourage conversations for, you know, elections and things like that. You can pop off once in a while like I do, but, you know, you reel it back in. Pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll be back. Anybody got anything else to say?
You know, we always talk about these Constitution and Declaration of Independence and all that. That's just us being hopeful, because the reality is most of our congressmen and the aides and staffers and people that work in our government, they know
mm-hmm.
that we're still really under a mafia situation, and they figure, well, hey, if I continue to process the paperwork the way the mafia wants it, then I'll get my $10,000 extra or $50,000 extra at whatever point in time. But otherwise, if I don't, they're going to either break my legs or my kids' legs or my husband's legs or whatnot, so they go along with the game.
Yeah. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes in, and then once everybody gets dirty, nobody tells on each other because they don't want to be told on themselves.
That's right. And that's how we link the UAW to the politics.
That's right.
Right.
15 convictions.
Right.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my. Two former presidents of the UAW.
Hmm.
And a whole bunch of other people. Vice presidents, all kinds of things going on at UAW.
Yeah. we have to laugh to keep them crying.
Yeah. We still pay their pensions, though, because we care.
Right.
Right.
Is that the motto now?
Yeah.
You know what?
We care.
That's a good one.
Millions of
we
dollars.
Care.
Yeah,
we
but
care.
We care. Get us off and keep your pension, folks, because we care. And your
right.
Health care. And your health care.
Because we care.
We care.
Right. We have to do a commercial, Adrian.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one there.
We care. Good Lord.
I just don't know.
I don't know.
We just had too much corruption all around us. This is
mm-hmm.
too much.
Too much people power.
I keep saying that, and I believe this in my heart, we will prevail. We the people,
yeah,
all
yeah.
the people, we will prevail.
We have to.
I agree.
Because they're destroying our country, and you know, of course, we know they're destroying our UAW, but
yeah.
our country is being destroyed.
Yes, it is.
And
it sure is.
We can't allow that.
No, we can't.
I feel like
back.
We're herding cats a lot of times, though, because if we can't all organize to do, you know, the good that needs to be done, then they're going to continue to sit in their ivory towers and organize and plan all the division in order for them to continue to conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Like herding cats trying to get us all together to work together.
Well, we've heard that before, Adrian.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying to do that right now.
Yeah. Well, one member, one vote.
Yeah. We'll see how that works out. I'll be shocked.
We see how it's working out in the political arena.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's right. All right, y'all. I'm going to call it a night. We'll be back Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with everybody. I hope you come back, Adrian and John Doe.
I'll try.
You better.
No, you better be there.
Yeah, you better. A different perspective.
All right.
All right. Everybody be safe this week. And
y'all too.
Everybody be safe.
And we'll
have a good week.
Stay hydrated.
I know that's right.
And enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, because we only got 6 more weeks of summer. That's all we got in Michigan. So enjoy those 6 weeks. It's going to snow.
Yeah, we get that.
Wow.
You know, it might snow in August.
The end of August, 1st of September. Look out.
Oh, God.
I know it's
going to be
99
degrees here in Alabama.
Yeah, we'll be 15 below.
And y'all got snow.
We'll have women out there with a snowblower. Go, honey, go.
Oh.
Go, honey, go.
That's a mess.